Thought you knew, but you have no idea. It's the Urban Sports Scene.
Yeah, the Urban Sports Scene. We're back. I'm at the moment I'm by myself doing a dolo solo, but I'll be here joining my main man, Ray Jeezy, in the building. But it's a blessing to do this Urban Sports Scene show with you all. You're listening to Wally right now, one half of the Urban Sports Scene. And also, the Urban Sports Scene is part of the BDSIR network. You can check that website out with many other radio shows, podcast shows, which is www.bdsirnetwork.com. Like I said, it's a blessing to do this show with you all. Back in here doing sports. You know, that's what we do in the Urban Sports Scene. We talk sports. We talk about all types of stuff. We got a lot to talk about, to be honest with you. We got RG3, there's a, you know, unnamed head coach talking about RG3, saying that Jay Gruden is disrespecting RG3. He's never seen a quarterback treated that way. I tend to agree, but we'll talk about that later. We got the Nationals. Denard Span came back off the DL, so he's back on the team. And the Nats, you know, trying to get that push for the NL East crown. So hopefully they reach that. We'll talk about Denard Span. We can talk about, you know, Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota. They had their second preseason game. And we want to see, I'm ready to talk about it, dive in and talk about how and break down what they did in those preseason games. I'm a big fan of Jameis Winston. I don't think he gets the respect that, you know, he should garner if you think about what his resume showed in college and even how he did in the combine and even some of the scouts, how they broke him down and that in all honesty. But again, you're listening to the Urban Sports Scene. Our phone lines are open. Feel free to call in. The number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. So we're going to get in our tradition to pregame. The Nationals right now losing to the San Diego Superchargers. No, the San Diego Padres. Steven Strasburg is pitching at the moment. They're down 2-0. Strasburg gave up a two-run home run. Cannot tell you who hit the home run. But again, I mentioned Denard Span is back in the lineup for this team. It's very essential and very big for Denard Span to do big things for the Washington Nationals at the leadoff position. He's a guy who sets that offense off. Everything has a trickle-down effect. You have Denard Span at that position. I believe it's best to have Anthony Rizzo, I'm thinking about Chicago Cubs, Rendon, as the second hitter, having Bryce Harper at the third hitter and Zimmerman at the cleanup spot. It puts that lineup in order and makes it more intimidating intimidating from top to bottom. It's a guy who steals bases, gold glove type of outfielder. Again, you can actually move Taylor to left field. Bryce is at right, and you have Denard Span at center. So you have more range to the outfield. Obviously, when Jason Worth gets 100% and he is healthy, you have more of a potent offensive outfield. So Denard Span brings all that into play. Obviously, we see how not having him in the lineup affects this team. This team has been very inconsistent, inconsistent in terms of offensively. Hopefully, again, when Denard Span in the lineup, he steals bases, an opportunity they can do some hit and run with him and Rendon. Those two individuals will set up the lineup pretty nicely. I mean, also, and you can add in Escobar, what Escobar has to bring for this team in the lineup down the road. You can even have Escobar to two spots. So having Denard Span in this team, in this opportunity, you can come in too, Ray. Ray's out here. You can come in. because I can't talk forever. having Anthony Rendon at two spot would be good, but Escobar's another option as well. Ray Jeezy, what's good, man? Your mic's on. I mean, you got something? You still eating? I'll leave Ray Jeezy alone anywhere. Also, the Nets called up Trey Turner. I want to figure out how that's gonna work out with Ian Desmond. Trey Turner plays shortstop. He's probably the shortstop of the future for this team. You would think that they would wait till September when the rosters expand. So it tells me they couldn't wait. This guy was killing in AAA for the Nationals. He's hitting over 300. Phenomenal speed. Good defensive shortstop. And, you know, we all know the problems with Ian Desmond in terms of the errors he has for this team. So, you know, for a guy in Iadesma, a former Silver Slugger, a good shortstop, a shortstop that a lot of folks thought down, you know, in the past thought that he could be a guy that would warrant a big money making contract, has now fallen on the wayside and lost some confidence. So I see Trey Turner definitely having an impact for the Washington Nationals when he does get the opportunity to do so. To the Orioles, let's go. Did you want to talk about the Nationals? Did you want to?
Just hope the Mets lose.
Just hope the Mets lose.
That's all I can say.
I get you. I dig. And to the Orioles, for the Orioles, right now the Orioles are struggling. They've lost five. They've lost five in a row. I don't see the sense of urgency for this ball club. I actually had a dispute with this individual on a Facebook Orioles group. He stated oh, sense of urgency. Where'd you get that from? I'm like, I play sports. I watch baseball. That's my assessment. Anytime you play poor defense down the stretch, you're wasting the bats. I'm swinging the balls not giving an opportunity to work the count. I look at it like, yeah, there's no sense of urgency. If you want this bad, you want to win bad, you do whatever it takes. You go out of your comfort zone. So if you're a team that tends to swing at everything, you want to look at pitches and take more pitches. But the Orioles tend to have the same technique, same strategy, and it hasn't worked. And hence the 5-game losing streak. So they called up Henry Urrutia. I'm calling him Henry. Call him Henry because I can't say his name. I'm going to call him Henry. All right. They called him Henry. Played left field. He's from Cuba, and he's a good hitter. A guy who could hit, who could spray the ball to left field. He doesn't pull the ball all the time, but he's a good hitter. And the Orioles need Urrutia. I can't say it. I'm trying to say it. You don't know it, but I'm trying to say it. I'm struggling right now. And have Clevinger, the third catcher on the lineup. I mean, the third catch-up on the ball club. Who's a good hitter. They playing him at DH. So trying to get more offense. Pitching needs to stabilize. And the bullpen has started to blow a couple of wins for the Orioles down the stretch. So it really, in all honesty, the Orioles are just falling to the wayside. This is a bad stretch for them right now. Did you have anything else you want?
Yeah, it happens in baseball. I tell you that all the time. So I guess the timing is concerning based on the fact that this is when most teams make their playoff push. But the fact that they're still in contention is why my guess is they don't have that sense of urgency you want to see from your team around this time of the season.
Yeah.
With the Nationals, it's a bit different. They have very little chance at the wild card outside of something drastic changing. And they have to play with more urgency versus the Orioles. Again, they're close, and they have a lot of talent. They've been through stretches where they've won consecutive games, and they know they're capable. I always say that Buck Showalter is capable of making adjustments, and this is kind of what you're referring to. Right now, you're not seeing any change in their game plan. I think, again, the manager's good.
Oh, nothing against the manager. Nothing against the manager.
Nothing against the manager. It's the players.
It's the players. It's just, he's put them in the position to succeed. But when you are out there, every hitter has their own game plan. And, you know, for instance, I love Adam Jones, and, you know, I love him. I think he's one of the best baseball players out there. But there's opportunities where there's times out there where he's wasting a bat, swinging at everything because he's so anxious to do stuff. Like, you know, there's a dominant pitcher on the mound. Instead of swinging at the dominant every pitch he pitches, how about working the count so we can get him out of the game so we can touch that bullpen? So it's just you know, some of the hitters got to take onus and say, you know what, I'm going to do this for the team. Like, okay, there's a guy at second base. I can hit a home run. Oh, I could try to hit a home run. But how about just going the opposite way? And, you know, moving that runner on to third base. Now it's like, you know, instead of being, you know, second base with no outs, third base and one out. You know, a situation, I'm referring to a situation with no outs. So, I mean, just it's all about sacrificing for the team. Sacrifice your at-bats. You know what I mean? Things like that. Set a bunt. You know what I mean? Try to steal if you got speed. There's things you can do for your, you know, do for your team to put you with a different, you know, to show a sense of urgency that to change the course of what you've been doing in the past.
Well, from your perspective, pitching is not an issue at all, huh? That's
no, pitching is a deal. Pitching is an issue, but it's pitching. It's not. No, it's not starting pitching because they. To be all right, for instance, the only bad pitch the Orioles have had in the stretch has been Miguel Gonzalez. Everybody else has given up less than three runs or less. And then to be honest with you, what's his face had a bad game. Yobaldo Jimenez. He had a bad game last night against the Royals. So, but he was pitching well to a certain extent. And I think Buck left him in too long anyway. And that's another thing. He sometimes tends to leave people in too long. He left him in too long. But in all honesty, down the stretch, the offense has been stagnant. Against the Twins, only scored the most runs they scored. They only scored 3 runs max against the Twins. So it's offense. And it's a team that's capable of scoring runs.
That's true. Droughts.
So, but let's go to the NBA. The NBA fines the Clippers $250,000 after finding out that they violated league rules to re-sign DeAndre Jordan. I'm looking at you first, man.
I'm sorry.
Dude, I did a lot of talking.
So I can tell. I can see. I don't think this is a big deal. Oh, yes. Sorry,
home run.
Tie game.
Yeah, Wilson Ramos home run. Nationals now. National San Diego are tied 2-2.
This is news because – enlighten me.
This is news because you remember what happened. He signed with the Dallas Mavericks. I'm sorry. I didn't – he signed with the Dallas Mavericks initially. He verbally agreed to sign with the Dallas Mavericks. They think there was some little shadiness. You know, they went behind the scenes and convinced him not to sign, you know, to change his mind. They locked him in the room. They locked him, you know, your reports. They locked him in the house and basically alienated Mark Cuban to a point where he couldn't even contact DeAndre Jordan.
How is that possible?
With a grown man. You're right, but obviously something happened. It's $250,000 should be a fine.
Because I can imagine that. This is not the first time this has come about.
Oh, well, I agree.
In professional sports in general, not just in basketball. So, I guess it is news. It's something that is notable based on the fact that the NBA is not, you know, the NBA season is not being played right now. We're looking for stories.
Looking stories, but
focus on the NBA. But I'm serious. I don't know if this was the determining factor for him re-signing with the Clippers, but yeah, they got fined for it. I don't think they're worried about it. I think they'll eat that.
Oh, they'll eat that. No, they're not worried about it. It's such is life.
But for real, a whole other subject is they could let him walk for real, and they wouldn't have missed a beat.
They wouldn't have missed nothing.
So maybe it is a waste of money, but on that level, does it matter at this point? They wanted him back.
I don't know if it was you. I think it was Will. You could have signed JaVale McGee, and with Chris Paul, Lob City, ask him block shots. He can probably JaVale McGee can make more free throws.
McGee may have a better offensive game.
Exactly. Seriously.
Now, if you're looking to win a championship, JaVale McGee's probably not your guy.
Nah, not your guy. Because he's too childish. Not your guy.
Yeah, but.
But I'm talking about I know, right?
I mean, well, you know what? I'll take that back. Coaching means everything.
Yeah. So Doc Rivers,
maybe Doc was the right coach. Yeah. Although, again, Doc won one championship. I get it. But
he gets a lot of credit for
that Drew Brees love.
Yeah, he does.
You won one
championship.
And now all of a sudden you're one of the all-time greats.
No, real talk. You won one championship Kevin Garnett.
Exactly.
Paul Pierce and Ray Allen.
Right. Which is why the same reason why we hate Eric Spoelstra for the love he gets is the same reason why we love Doc Rivers.
Yeah, man.
In general. Sorry. That's all the subject. But yeah, not big deal to me. Sorry.
Same thing, like, you know, like Rondo's, like how Rondo was getting all the credit. He was playing with Brett Hall.
Oh, well, yeah, I sent that to you.
Yeah, I know, exactly.
I'm a fan of Rondo because of his work ethic, period. Yeah. I've always been a fan. And I just said the jury was out. He had to prove it. And right now, he's struggling. Now, injuries may play a role, but he needs good players around him. And not saying he didn't have that in Dallas, but obviously, Boston was a great situation for him.
Awesome situation.
It wouldn't have been for anybody. So hey,
would you give Doc Rivers credit because he did play well? But Doc Rivers is his head coach.
He's a good player. It's just that from your perspective, he was given a bit too much credit. He was.
My man said your perspective.
It is. If Rajon Rondo put up the numbers that he put up, and the media didn't show him, they gave him that Mario Chalmers type of attention, you wouldn't have no problem with
exactly.
him. But the fact that they anointed him one of the top 5 point guards, that's where it got to.
I felt like they even, like, all right, for instance, John Wall is a point guard here of the Washington Wizards. I didn't think he was better than John Wall at any stretch of the imagination.
Look, man, how I look at it is you have to earn it. John Wall felt he was one of the top point guards coming into the NBA.
Yes.
And he ran into some stumbling blocks, overcame that, and now he is. I mean, everybody was saying Kyrie was better. Now,
again, I'm going to say this.
From what I've seen, John Wall looks like he might be ahead of Kyrie in his career.
Kyrie's going
to
get a lot of attention.
To win.
Yeah, Kyrie is going to get more attention to John Wall because he's playing. Now he got to the NBA Finals. He's flashy, But at the end of the day, like, look at John Wall, look at the end of the day, let's put it this way. Like, John Wall is the leader of his team. He led his team to the playoffs 2 years in a row. John Wall led his team. Like, Kyrie was
better.
Exactly. And Kyrie Irving, great point guard, great talent. I mean, great talent. Let me say great talent. But in a weak Eastern Conference, when he is deemed probably one of the best ball players in the league, can't even get his team over 500 by himself.
Yeah, and you got the Celtics making the playoffs.
Exactly. The Celtics making the playoffs. There you go.
I totally agree.
You know what I mean? So, yeah.
He's a difference maker.
No.
Just not as much as John Wall.
No, not as much as John. No, I totally agree.
And DeAndre Jordan.
But you know what? But at the same time, he gets more – but he gets the attention. I'm glad we've gone to this point because, you know, I'm a John Wall fan too. Like, it gets to the point when you look at the look at John Wall and Kyrie Irving, when you compare the two, people like the U.S. Basketball League attention, like he gets it over John Wall. It's like a
Coach K's.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, you would have the overall, if you weren't really paying attention to the basketball game for what it is and what these two individuals have actually achieved in the NBA, you would actually think that, you know, Kyrie Irving is 10 times better than John Wall, which is false. Totally false. And truth be told, the real argument is Kyrie Irving really even close to John Wall? Is he really?
Oh, yeah. I definitely think they're close. And I think they're head-to-head matchups. Maybe you can give Kyrie the nod since they've both been in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Because John Wall's defense needs improvement.
He's a better defender than Kyrie Irving, though. He's a better defender.
When he's defending.
When he chooses to defend.
Because
he's a lockdown defender when he wants to defend.
And it depends on who he's playing against. When he plays against Kyrie, he plays much harder on defense. Jeff Teague torched him enough.
Yeah.
I know. I need to step up.
Because Jeff Teague ain't no bum.
But
Trey Burke got to him.
When I'm watching Pressey from Boston.
Torch Pressey.
I'm annoyed.
You said Pressey and Trey Burke.
Trey Burke got open threes on John Wall. Yes, he did.
And you were like, why?
At a time where I think Trey Burke was still developing. Yeah. I like Trey Burke. I want him to stay in college a bit longer. That was my main beef with him.
Yeah, we had
anyway, talk. Yeah. I'm not even gonna digress. Here's the thing. When the NBA comes back, we'll have to talk about it. I'm not gonna go into a long speech.
You can. We got time to kill.
We can take a break. I need some water and.
All right, you want a break? We can take a break.
I got some.
Anyway, everybody go to. We're about to go to break. When we get back, I can't even talk right. When we get back from break, we'll talk about RG3. An unnamed coach stated that Jay Gruden is disrespecting RG3. It's the Urban Sports saying for ages. You dig? Delces.
This is Wally Akinso from the Urban Sports Scene. Earlier today, I had a sit-down interview with Jim Gray, which focused on a hard decision that I had to make.
How many people know your decision right now?
In all realness, Jim, that's a dumbass question. I should smack your ass right now.
One hand or two hands?
If you keep playing, I'm going to smack you with two hands.
When did you decide?
The idea of me smacking you came about 30 seconds ago.
You still a nail biter?
Don't worry about my nails. They won't be in the way when I smack you. Don't worry about it, all right?
We've had everybody else biting their nails, so I guess it's time for them to stop chewing.
Jim, if I was you, I wouldn't worry about everybody else.
The answer to the question everybody wants to know, what's your decision?
I smacked Jim Gray.
That was the conclusion you woke up with this morning.
Yes, Jim, that was the decision that had me tossing and turning this morning. It was hard, but I felt that my left and my right would make an impact on your face. And I was right.
Why?
Why? That's why. You think you know? You have no idea. You don't know the decisions that anybody within the USS has to make.
This is that ice cold Michelle fight for that white gold. This one for them hood girls, them good girls, straight masterpieces. Stylin', wildin', living it up in the city. Got Chucks on with Saint Laurent. Gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty. I'm too hot. Call the police and the fireman. I'm too hot.
Make a dragon wanna retire, man, I'm too hot. Say my name, you know who I am, I'm too hot. And my band bought that money, break it down. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Girls hit you, hallelujah. Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Cause Uptown Funk don't give it to you.
Saturday night and we in the spot.
Don't believe me, just watch.
We back from commercial break. Hold on. Bruno, you cranking. Now, let me say it again. We back from commercial break.
That's not Bruno Mars, is it?
It's Bruno Mars in it. It's Bruno Mars and Mark Ronson.
Mark Ronson.
Ronson.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, Mark Ronson. But Bruno Mars is in it, though.
See, I can't wait till we get to a point where we can compete with the bigger radio shows, podcasts. We can offer tickets.
Some yeah, I know.
Just for that reason.
I know.
Be the 20th call and you get the tickets.
If somebody wants to give me some money so I can do that, I'm fine with it.
I'm just saying.
You're right, though.
No, you should. Well,
I could do that. I can buy my own tickets and do it for somebody.
We can invest.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
Get some free tickets. I used to have access to Wizards floor tickets. Never took advantage of it. But yeah, I could sell them.
I used to have access to.
We'll give them away.
I used to have access to club tickets.
Yeah,
I used to.
The Wizards.
Okay. Yeah, Wizards. Club
I'm just talking about like the club. I'm like, what the
club? Why am I giving club joints for?
I really thought that.
Like what, Zanzibar club joint? Oh my God, let's get it!
Nah, inside joke. I'm shaking my head.
That was a good time for us, Ray, man.
I'm serious though, because you and your family were watching wrestling for a point, Monday Night Raw, whatever, just because they were offering money. So whenever isn't it?
Remember
they were giving away like.
Oh, I sure did. You're right. That thing was like that. I'm getting money.
You had family watching.
My parents. Y'all kids watching it too. They were giving out money.
Watching wrestling because of that. So if we had some tickets to
I'm
offer,
still watching wrestling, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I don't know. A gift card.
To what?
Whatever sports scene is sponsored by Chipotle, something like that.
A Chipotle gift card?
I don't know. Something.
You can have the best steak burrito in the world because of Earth Sports Scene.
Tell them Earth Sports Scene.
Hashtag Earth Sports Scene.
And you know what? It's all good.
I like that idea, man.
I'm going to get it popping.
I like that. We can
October,
do that.
October, the return.
October, the return. That's hashtag that, the return. USS, the return.
The return to full-time status.
I like that. Hashtag the return. No, hashtag the return. No.
I'll work on that.
I got to work on that.
Because the return is too broad.
It's too broad. The USS return.
What was RG3's thing? All in for week one?
Yeah, all in for week one. I don't want that one.
I don't. You know what? RG3 needs to be back on Subway commercials, by the way.
Why, he can play better?
No. I mean, look at what happened to Jared.
They need a new face.
Well,
I don't know if he'd be the face, though.
Well, he already got the endorsement.
Yeah, that's right.
Steph Curry with Subway, too, I think.
I think so. He's with a lot right
probably
now.
Probably not.
He's doing a lot right now.
I know
now.
He's doing the Under Armour thing, but yeah, so why not? Put RG3 is playing bad, but.
Yeah. How long it can last? Man, you might
as well. Heals concussions. You know, that would be. they could do something.
What kind of sub would he have?
RG3?
Yeah.
He promotes.
He should
promotes,
have a special sub. Like
he
the,
promotes
like, the,
like something. One in particular sub.
Does he really? Like the turkey.
Bacon.
Bacon avocado joint. I'm giving Subway so much press right now.
Is it chicken?
I thought it was turkey. It's turkey and bacon.
I don't eat Subway a whole lot.
No, I haven't had it in a while. I'm fiending for some Chipotle, though. I haven't had Chipotle in a while.
Subway on Penn State's campus is going to close.
On Penn State's camp. Oh, jeez.
I don't want to go there, though. I don't want to make light of something serious. So I'm going to change my tune. But
Jared is disgusting.
Jared has been.
A busy beaver.
I don't know. I don't know what to say. I'm just saying he's been.
Disgusting.
No, he's been, what's the right word?
Trifling.
Crucified in the media, man. So. I'm not going to add to that. The man made a mistake just like we all do. You know, sometimes when there's children involved, it makes, I guess, people a bit more sensitive because.
Did he do this? I really didn't try to read it.
He didn't do anything to children, but he had a bunch of.
Kitty porn.
Kitty porn, yeah.
Dang, Jared.
What does that do for you, Chris?
I'm just trying to figure out. Doesn't he watch Law and Order? SVU?
I don't know. He need to watch MSNBC, man. Yeah. Gotta catch a predator.
That's true. Yes, true. Anyway, you can listen to our show by visiting our official Urban Sports Scene website, which is www.waleo.podbeam.com. Waleo is spelled W-A-L-E-O. Podbeam is spelled P-O-D-B-E-A-N.com. We are also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. Six is the number. You can listen to us on the Sports Crib Podcast Show on Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just visit www.blogtalkradio.com/WC Still a Fan. The show is produced by West Coast Still a Fan. Again, our phone lines are open. The number is 240-478-3140. That's 240-478-3140. All right, real quick. Did you hear? All right. So you saw the performance. Or did you, hear about or saw the performance of RG3 and the Washington Redskins on Thursday night against the Lions?
Of course.
All right, give me your insight into that real quick.
It's tough for me to analyze. I was going to actually try to get your fan perspective.
All right, go ahead. You
because
what
I have been hearing a consistent theme is how come Kirk Cousins came, replaced him, how come he didn't get hit the same way against the same defenders?
It wasn't the same defenders.
That's the
only time it was the same defender. See, that's the, like, fans are so they're all right. The only time it was the same defenders was his last drive. His last drive was against the same defenders, which he suffered that concussion. The last drive. That was it.
I mean, not RG3, but Kirk Cousins, he didn't face the same defenders that RG3
played,
faced
in that Detroit game. Yeah. He played a third string. Colt McCoy played.
Colt McCoy. That's who I
Colt, right, Colt McCoy played. All right, Colt McCoy played.
He came in against the same. Against the second string.
RG3 had to predominantly saw the Detroit Lions first string. Then they gave him an extra. They gave him an extra series in the second half because the offense did nothing, and that's when he got hurt.
Well,
he didn't see Colt McCoy. Didn't see. What's his name? What's his name? The guy. That, oh my God! The defensive end. I can't say his name. The defensive end. Well, the fearsome four of the Detroit Lions in that pass rush. Their first team. If you think about that defensive line minus and Dominic Sue, was third overall in the NFL in defense. If my memory serves me correctly, last year. RG3 saw that defense. Colt McCoy didn't see that defense.
I don't blame RG3 for the simple fact that Trent Williams was out. I think that played a significant role. Played a significant role. However.
And I'm critical of RG3 too. So I'm gonna make sure people know that. So
well, go ahead. Everybody is. And the thing is, there's like this small portion of the fan base that is anxious and thinking he's going to leave. Somebody's going to play him in a different sort of system.
Ain't going to be successful.
Right. But from what, you know, all reports indicate RG3 is the one who wants to be this pocket guy.
That's true.
And he basically pushed Shanahan into that. So that's why he's getting the blame, because you want to be this guy. You don't want to be in the pistol or the read option or whatever, wherever they want to put you. Although someone made the point that he took hits in the running the read option as well. So
He took hits running the read option, took more hits in the pocket. If you want to be real about it, he's taking more hits trying to be a pocket passer. But at the end of the day, again, this is how I judge his performance against Detroit: incomplete. I can't judge him off a situation where the offensive line was horrible. You know what I mean? And when you get hit, hut one, boom, and you're hit, I can't say like, oh, you know what? That Kirk Cousins would have did better, or Colt McCoy did better, because as soon as he snapped the ball, somebody was getting bum rushed and he was getting smacked in the face. So for me, and then to be honest with you, and we see it even with quarterbacks down the road, like Patrick Ramsey or some other quarterbacks that were quarterbacks for Washington Redskins, or even another situation where if you continue to take hits all the time, then you will miss wide open receivers because you're worried about the hit rather than the actual the pass options out there on the routes. So for me, when I watched that game, he was getting hit like thoroughly with terrible protection. So I blame the protection. And truth be told, again, I'm one of the first people to tell you, because I was critical of the guy last season that I would have benched him last season over Kirk Cousins Colt McCoy. But in this game, for the fans to come out there and say, well, he played terrible, blah, blah, this, that, and the other, like, dude was getting smacked early and like in a terrible situation. Like look at the dude, Willie Smith, who took Trent Williams' spot at left tackle. He was atrocious. I mean, I'm not knocking anybody's job, but that's a guy that didn't seem like he shouldn't have an NFL job. He should be working somewhere else outside the NFL. When you look at the rookie, Brandon Scherff. You were a tackle in college. You were the fifth pick overall. They moved you to guard. You were a tackle. Now you moved to guard, and you can bully by a dude named Walker. That we're not talking about Sue. We're not talking about Nada. We're not talking about Watt. We're talking about a dude named Walker walking you to the back. Come on, man. Seriously, like you can't blame this kid, man. Like this situation, that game, you can't blame. You can't blame him at all.
Are the receivers getting open?
They get open, but I mean, okay. You can't get open. I mean, it's not going to be to the point where, again, for his situation, he's already being hit before he can even look up.
The offensive line must be that bad, because I'm trying to wrap my mind around all this. Like, for example, in Atlanta, of course, I'm an Atlanta fan. If you don't know, Matt Ryan has had for the past at least 2 to 3 seasons terrible offensive lines, maybe just as bad as what I'm seeing with the Redskins. And he still didn't get hit nearly as much.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference between what he's doing and what RG3 does?
Well, again, we're going to break it down. We break it down from last season. RG3 was holding the ball too long. So I can't off last season. That's the truth. That's just a fact. But we're looking at this. I can only go off of what I've seen in the preseason. Game one, they were fine. He was getting the ball out of his hands. No one said nothing about him holding the ball or this, that, and the other against the Browns. So the Browns were bringing in blitzes. But the difference was that they had Trent Williams in the game. That's the only difference. And the offense, that right side played better. Brandon Scherff didn't look like a high school tackle or a high school guard. Morgan Moses played well. So that whole line as a whole played well. This situation, they were getting bullied by a superior defensive line, and that's what it was. And RG3 didn't have the time to throw the ball. I mean, I saw one play where it was like within a second he was getting hit.
Here's why RG3 is to blame in the eyes of the fans. It's because of his mouth. That's a big part of it. There were reports that the day where he wanted to clarify his comments about being the quote-unquote best quarterback, he pushed the Redskins media personnel to let him talk when he was not scheduled to, because they are
after. You mean after, like when they try to block him, right?
Yeah,
from talking.
Yeah, they're trying to minimize, you know, the amount of negative press he creates, and yet he pushed. So as far as where he sits with the fans, I think, of course, the fan base is going to blame him just because of everything that's taken place so far. Was it his fault, though? I'm gonna say no, but he's got a quick turnaround. He's going to have to get it together this coming game, and it's against the Ravens, who have a tough defense. I think it'll be a good time to be able to prove that, you know, you can have success this season, because right now the fan base is saying 4-12, which I don't see that necessarily.
I do. I do after what's the name?
4-12?
If they play like that, yes. That defense, there's a lot more than RG3. When you break down that team, even defensively, they had flaws.
I don't understand it, though.
You got to be – like, you have to look at it for real.
This game too.
The draft, well, a draft is only as good as what you produce on the field. Just if we're going to be real about it. And Brandon Scherff, reports are, you know, we saw on Hard Knocks how – and I know it's J.J. Watt, but how he got bullied by J.J. Watt. They moved him – understand this. He was booked to be the right tackle. They moved him from right tackle because he didn't play well, and they moved him to guard. So they tried to hide him. So obviously there are issues with Brandon Scherff, just as a pass protector. As in the run game, he's fine. But as a pass protector, he has issues. So they moved him. They tried to hide him. Morgan Moses played better, so they played him at right tackle. It is what it is. So there is problems within that O-line. Now, I'm not going to talk about the O-line, because I'm going to go to the defense. Everybody wants to, like, you know, that's easy to talk about the O-line. Defensively, this team for a couple years has been able to stop the run. They've done a good job against the run. The same issue still comes up when you look at them, even in the preseason game against the Detroit Lions. People are running free in that secondary. You know, and that's a problem. You hear about what Joe Barry's going to bring to this team. I don't see any pressure. The front seven isn't sacking a quarterback in any preseason game other than the Cleveland Browns. And to be honest with you, that game, I felt like it was more the guys who were striving to make the roster that were doing most of the pressure. So to be real, like this defensive line isn't sacking the quarterback. I don't see any difference in terms of this and what Jim Haslett had to offer, had to bring to the table as a defense, as the DC of the Washington Redskins. So I think that I don't see any difference within the defense. And again, I questioned it when they signed him. You're getting a guy who was coaching a 1-15 or 0-16, whatever team with the Detroit Lions, and now you're making him the DC of the Washington Redskins. Are you serious? I'm talking about defensive coordinator. Are you serious? When you had Wade Phillips out there who was interested in the job, come on, don't do that. So when I look at this team, they're gaping holes everywhere. I agree with some of the people some of the pundits that believe that this team could be 4-12. But again, they have a lot of improvement. They could change my mind if they play well against the Ravens, because that's the rehearsal game. Maybe they'll bring things out, and we'll see. But I don't. Again, for the fans who blame RG3 for this game, it's not a fair assessment. I think when we grade people, we got to be fair in the situation, and just let's see him do it and hold the ball when he has time. If he has time, he holds the ball, then we know, okay, same old RG3. If he's letting the ball loose and he's throwing interceptions, then we'll be like, oh man, he ain't accurate no more. If he's on the money with it, then let's give him a chance. Against the Cleveland Browns, he played well. Everybody tried to play it off like he didn't, because Kirk Cousins played well against the second unit. RG3 played well. Pierre Garçon dropped the ball. That's what happened. He had a touchdown. He had a good drive. He made a big play rolling out the pocket. It is what it is.
Like I said last time I was here, though, it's kind of sad that RG3 has fallen to that point where you're looking for any glimmer of hope. Yeah. But it is what it is, and it's an organizational problem. Everybody knows that, because the hiring over the years has been questionable. Even Jay Gruden, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's true.
That wouldn't be my choice as a head coach. And he's completely fumbled on how to handle the media, on how to handle players, specifically RG3.
Totally agree.
I don't know what the rationale for, because my guess is when you're interviewing for a Redskins job,
you have to say, that was it.
That was a big part of it. Can you coach RG3?
I'm sure he said yes, with flying colors, I can do it. I know I can.
I mean, I don't know if, it's just like, I'm guessing, again, I'm an Atlanta fan, so I'm keep going back to that. Arthur Blank, when he's talking to Dan Quinn, because he could have had Rex Ryan if he wanted. Rex Ryan wanted the Atlanta job. Could have had him. He said, no, I want you to come in and recreate what you did in Seattle. Can you do that here? Absolutely, I can.
Yeah.
Did you see any of those guys, top picks? No.
Yeah.
You know, I created that defense.
And it's good for money, too, if you think about it. For money for Arthur Blank. Because you don't have to pay. You don't have to sign the high-priced player.
So it wasn't like you're hiring a coach that is, you know, had a running quarterback before in the past. Like, I remember Baylor's coach was part of
Art Brown, the conversation. Over here. Yeah.
Yeah, I can understand that. But one thing that struck me as interesting, and I'm sure it's come up, Mike Shanahan, his comments saying that RG3 basically did whatever he wanted in college. He didn't have a real playbook.
He missed it there, yeah.
And this is what it – right. But this is why the learning curve has been so difficult for him, because he's still adjusting. He's still learning. And I thought RG3 was a bit more cerebral than what he is. I mean,
I thought so too.
I thought he was extremely intelligent. We all did.
I think he's smart. He is smart. It's just some, you know, it's a different type of.
No, he's well spoken. That doesn't mean
he. No, he's smart within outside of. I've heard I've heard he's intelligent outside of football. I've heard. I'm just saying, I've heard.
Okay,
and political views. His political views. Well, no, it's
political
different.
That's different. But I mean,
it's every different form.
That should translate to the field.
Well, it's different forms of intelligence. I'll state that.
It's yeah, because there's some dudes that's dumb in the classroom. Yeah, on the football field.
Yeah, they're geniuses. I totally agree.
I'm not gonna name any names.
I want to.
I'm not gonna name any names.
But I feel like this. I'll put it this way. I don't think he's stupid any which way, but. He has a grade of Peyton. He's got a grade of Peyton Manning in terms of how he reads film. James Winston has a grade of Peyton Manning how he reads film. But when you hear him talk, he sounds like a kid. And not knocking him, not saying he's not intelligent, but he has a grade of he's been graded out like a Peyton Manning.
Man, I tell you, the pressure with being a top pick is enormous. And
yeah,
I'm glad Teddy Bridgewater fell. And now he's going to live his dream. But real quick, the fan base also is frustrated that. There's division. This is how Gruden coaches black quarterbacks. This is how he coaches white quarterbacks. The difference.
Everybody.
And they say,
well, there's a fan base division within that realm, too, as well. when it comes to judging RG3. Not a lot, but there are in that regard. There's a fan base.
You know what? I'll agree, but I'm not gonna go there. Only reason I'm not gonna go there is because it's all about winning. When he was winning as a rookie, nobody cared.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, RG3, I think, felt as though personally he would be more sustainable if he was a pocket passer versus the offense he ran as a rookie. He felt like he was always in harm's way, but look at what's going on now.
He's more harm's way now than he was back then.
If this season doesn't work out, then I think Bruce Allen needs to go. Quite honestly, I do.
He's not a GM, though. He's not even a GM anymore.
Well, yeah, I know, but I mean,
what is he here for?
Exactly.
He's not an issue to me because you got Scott McGlewin running the thing. I don't really know.
He just was hired.
Yeah, so you give him the keys. I don't see what Bruce Allen is going to even do.
So what is he, a PR person there?
He's good with the salary cap. He knows how to adjust the salary cap. He's always been really good with that. He's good enough. He can play with money. He can do that. That's what he does well. He does that pretty well. He plays with money pretty well. I mean, they're able to sign players because of him.
I guess. I mean, because most of the time when things aren't going right, you're looking for change. Jay Gruden, you have to give him another year. This can't be it for him because you've done this too many times. Dan Snyder is the real problem, but he's not going anywhere.
I don't see – I have a whole different
perspective. I don't think of Daniel Snyder as anything.
I don't look at him as nothing.
Well, again, if you listen to local media, Dan Snyder is so involved in the day-to-day operation, and he's clearly not a football guy. Clearly.
Every owner is involved.
Clearly not every a football
owner,
guy.
Every owner, most owners are involved. I don't understand
why
people don't.
Well, yes, it's their
investment. Like Robert Kraft
like
loves
Arthur
Tom
Blank
Brady.
Stepping on the freaking field as if he's Jerry
Jones. Yeah, exactly.
I get it.
They all are involved. I don't really, because the difference is some are winning and some are losing.
Yeah, it's the degree of involvement and it's also your track record. At some point, you got to say, all right, I'm not doing things.
But you correctly. Know what? But to be honest with you, if you compare him to what he did initially as the owner, he's not even involved like he used to be. That's the funny thing about it. Like he doesn't come. He used to be everywhere. You can see him everywhere.
Up until Zorn, he was involved. And even with Shanahan has said there were some decisions that he felt he could not make.
Can you believe a liar? Do you believe a liar? Like he's a liar. I don't believe anything that comes out of his mouth.
But you got to look at both track records.
But the one guy lies all the time. One guy lies and he even admitted to the media that I used to tell you guys the truth. Like, so why do I need to believe a liar? Because it's convenient to tell the truth when you want to tell the truth.
Of the media all the time, though. But Dan Snyder isn't.
But he told them.
Dan Snyder never answers questions.
When a liar tells you, I usually don't tell you the truth. But right now, I'm telling you the truth. I'm sorry. You already lost credibility to me. You already lost it. So there's nothing you tell me.
Steve Kerr did the same thing. Are there any lineup changes? No. And then he started Iguodala.
He's a liar.
What's wrong with that?
He's a liar.
But he won, so it doesn't matter.
Look, He won, but a liar loses. This liar lost, so I don't care about this liar. So,
Dan Snyder. I'm not gonna judge whether he minimizes things or whatever. But I don't think he is required to talk to the media as much, which, you know, it gives him the opportunity to duck a lot of the.
Does Jerry Jones talk to me a lot?
Serious question. Yes, he does.
Exactly. Dan Snyder doesn't. That's all I'm saying. He doesn't. So what? He's not.
Jerry
as
Jones
forceful.
Is a great example. Because not a whole lot of owners are seen as much as he is. But good point. I'm not going to knock it. What my thing is, I think it starts at the top. It's like any business. It starts at the top. If things aren't working, usually you have to figure out yourself, okay, this is my organization. This is what I do. You know, what's the problem? Arthur Blank said it himself, being accountable. He said, I created a successful business in Home Depot. What in the world am I doing with it? I have to do it.
You
that's
said
why
what?
You said new Home Depot. That's his thing. Look at Home Depot. Can you argue?
It's a great job. He did a great job with that.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So he wants that success to translate to football, right? Which is why he's building a new stadium for the Falcons. He's trying to do the right thing.
God bless Arthur Blank.
I'm just saying. But
for mentioning
Dan Snyder, I don't know. I just get the feeling from him that
don't be like all these ignorant individuals like Dan Snyder. He's the problem without any fact. Not you, but other folks.
Oh, no, you can say that about me because I don't have all facts, and nor should I.
No. I'm not saying you're all facts. No, I'm not saying that. That's not what I'm saying about you. I'm just saying don't be like those other folks who just say it just to say it. I feel like people use that as an excuse.
I'm not. What I'm saying is, it seems like personnel wise, the decision. When's the last time the Redskins have had a great roster?
A great roster?
Yeah, it's been a while. Or a very good roster. It's hard
when he used to spend money, that's when we had a great roster. We just didn't win. We just spent money.
Okay. Doggone, you a jerk.
I'm just saying, you asked him. I'm just saying, he stopped spending money because everybody said.
Roster that produces. Not old guys that are, you know.
They produced in 2000, I guess, the year they went to the playoffs,
that's
2010.
That's a great roster.
Look, I mean, I can only go off of 2012. I mean, if you want me to go off of 2012, you're talking about a roster that did something. I mean, if you want to put it that, what constitutes as a good roster? I guess that's the question.
One that has depth, dag on it.
I guess when he spent money. He doesn't spend money anymore.
No, he didn't have depth when he spent money.
Yes, he did.
Got
he
the star at that
look,
position.
Look, when we spent money, we had good depth. He just decided not to do it anymore.
Okay, and look at the coaching moves he's made.
Okay, you can say coach. I would give
Marty would have been a coach, and you would have been to the playoffs several years.
I don't know about that. We didn't go to the playoffs that year he was there. Did we go to the playoffs that year he was there?
That's because the players did not play for him until the end.
Look, you asked me. I could only go off of what happened.
I'm going on what Chris Sands told me when I saw him.
What did he tell you?
He said that.
Is it the club?
No, when I went to visit the Redskins in Ashburn.
Okay, what did he say? I thought it was the club.
I was there when he was talking. So he told me. Listen. Basically, our bodies were dead. I mean, everybody's heard this before.
Yeah.
They felt like, you know, they were practicing too hard. So, of course, they felt tired. They were fatigued. They weren't playing for him. But when he got that team together, he showed the potential. They ended on the season on a winning streak, right?
Yeah, LeVar's interception.
And finished 500. Oh, yeah.
LeVar's interception.
What's wrong with that?
Because Carolina is always mentioned in Redskins lore. Good God. Real quick about that one game before we go to another RG3 topic. Should Jay Gruden have pulled RG3?
No.
Why not?
You got it's the preseason. He's not going to play.
He
much
gained
longer.
One extra down anyway. Should have pulled him anyway after he was getting decapitated by that Detroit Lions defense. And let's see how Colt McCoy suffered through that crap.
I mean, are the offensive linemen going to be accountable? Why don't you pull them? See if somebody else.
They should have pulled them.
Okay, thank you.
That's what I'm saying. They should have.
Preseason, this is what it's for, to get the work. Unfortunately, RG3 was
he needs
the
work.
Recipient of a horrible hit.
Horrible
hits.
Hits. The last hit was weak, but the hits. Yeah, horrible hits. But yeah, I think he should have got pulled.
Well, Terrell Suggs.
We'll talk about that too.
So I know I'm not going there, but I'm saying that's who's next.
Yeah, I know, right?
Poor
RG3. Poor RG3. Anyway, speaking of RG3, some more an unknown head coach. I mean, unnamed head coach. It's probably freaking Mike Shanahan anyway. Head coach told a Bleacher Report that Jay Gruden has a lack of respect for RG3.
It's probably John Gruden, his brother.
Do you agree? He said, well, I guess it's a current head coach. Is it current, though? It could be John Gruden, too. It's always leaks.
They're never going to reveal their sources, but come on. I don't understand it. Everybody in the media, I heard this constantly yesterday. Well, we all know already that RG3 is not his guy and wasn't
right,
his
but
guy.
We do already know that. So,
okay, so
why is it even news,
but,
right?
But if RG3 wasn't his guy, why in the world did he get hired? Was it because he said I can?
Okay, this is what it is. Let's just be like, I agree with you. I know where you're going. He told Daniel Snyder, I can coach this dude. I can get him to be a pocket passer. That's what he stated. He said it, whatever. He got into the room and got into the field, saw whatever. He was like, dude, this dude is off. I don't think this can happen. So that's what happened. From that point on, it's been this. That's my opinion. I think that's what happened. And now he regrets it. But again, you told management that you can do it. So that's why they're force-feeding
him. So he deserves to be fired.
Though. Yeah, exactly. You can't coach him. You can't reach him. To be real, you can't reach him. You promised management that you could do it, and you can't reach him, unfortunately. It's like when you go to a job and they hired you for this. They said you said you can do this, that, and the other, and they found that your word isn't adequate to help, you know, do whatever. You didn't fulfill the deal. You didn't. Sorry.
What I think is that, again, he went into a position wanting to be a head coach, and he said whatever he needed to
say.
That's
what he had. We can't knock that.
I guess I can't knock the hustle, but. What does a lack of respect mean? You don't respect his skills? I mean, you don't respect him as a man?
Well,
what does it mean? It's a very broad term.
What they mean by that, if you read an article, it's basically stating that you left them in the game, referring to the Detroit Lions game as an example. Like, you left them in the game to get hit. Any starting quarterback that's going through that punishment, you wouldn't leave in the game with that bad of an offensive line. So he's referring to that. Like, you wouldn't leave Matt Ryan in that situation. You wouldn't leave Marcus Mariota or even Jameis Winston. If you watch what happened to Jameis Winston, like, you saw what happened to Jameis Winston. No, I'm saying, being real.
Go ahead.
You saw what happened to Jameis Winston.
I just had a thought. Go ahead.
He rolled his ankle, and as soon as it was like, all right, we about to take this kid out. You know what I mean? They gave them finish the drive because he wanted to finish the drive. But it was like, you're done. And it wasn't. And you know, we had like an extra quarter to extra series to go about it. But they just took him out.
It's a bit different since he's a rookie. But I don't know. I think Gruden is desperate. I don't know. Respect is that the right word?
I think so.
He just doesn't respect.
I don't think. Well, when I respect, he just doesn't like. Maybe respect the wrong.
Doesn't like him as a player.
Maybe doesn't like him as a player. And I think he's trying to prove a point to management. It's like, dude, you want him to get work. He needs to work. So I'm going to leave him out there. But if it's a quarterback that you feel like you can really win with and ride with, you wouldn't have done that to him.
Well, you're in the wrong job because, you know, you're putting somebody's life and career
that's
at
what I'm saying,
somebody's
like,
health. This is a violent game. Yeah. And you got to be careful. I'm sick of this situation. I really am.
It's like, all right, for instance, like what you put, like the line, like for instance, who needs to work? I'll give you an example. Like Colin Kaepernick, right? He struggled last season as a pocket at the end. He did struggle last season as a pocket passer.
Yep.
He struggled, right?
Yep.
San Francisco wouldn't do that to him. He needs the work, right? So if his line was in shambles and he was getting hit left and right, they wouldn't do that to him. They'd take him out. That's all I'm saying. They would just take him out. He struggled as a pocket passer last season with a very talented team.
You know
team.
What? I think another contributing factor is that so far, Jay Gruden has not handled the media well. If you pull RG3, then the media would have jumped all over that. So it was a lose-lose situation for him.
Possibly.
I'm thinking that goes into his rationale. He's trying to improve upon, you know, he's protecting himself, of course. Mm-hmm. He's trying to improve upon, I guess, his communication skills with the media from last season.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that went into his rationale. It had to. But who knows? Only he knows. I hate this unnamed source nonsense.
We all hate it, though.
I mean, but hey, once I get to that level, you know, I'm gonna do the same thing.
Yeah,
I'm
gonna
my source.
Yeah,
my unnamed source.
All right, so let's go to the Ravens game. How much? I mean, work since he didn't get that much work. Well, he got hurt. How much work do you expect him to get in this game against the Ravens?
He needs to play half of football.
Yep, I think he needs to be more.
And you know what?
Maybe a little bit more.
And and they need to prove that they can run the ball.
Yeah.
Because I'm sick. I mean, the three and outs are frustrating.
They ran well in game one. Game two, they ain't run well. Because Detroit Lions defense ain't no joke. People ain't giving that D credit. That D is real. That Detroit Lions defense is real. But I agree. I actually would give him three quarters, to be honest with you. If he's healthy enough. If he's getting hit like he did against the Lions. He still needs to work, though.
Based on what I've seen from the Ravens defense, that shouldn't happen.
It shouldn't happen. They're not the same Ravens defense.
No,
they don't look clearly. So if he gets hit in this game, yeah, I agree with you. If he gets hit against against the Ravens, it's an issue with him, to be real with you. It's an issue with him. But, again, I think he should get about three quarters. I think he should get three quarters, not even two. I think he should get three quarters because he needs to work. And if he looks good in the first two quarters, then take him out. If he doesn't, give him a third quarter. But I want to see it. Truth be told, be honest with you, I wouldn't mind if Kirk Cousins got work with the first unit. I'm just sick of the whole Redskins talk, the fan base talk. Get him work with the first unit, see how good he looks.
Nah, I'm not listening to the fan base. I'm serious, because if you do, you know, Colt Brennan's going to be your quarterback. They were asking for him a few years ago.
I know, right?
It just doesn't make sense. I do think that race does play a role. I'm not going to go too far into
it. Go into it, Ray, please.
I'll be honest, because from my perspective, you know what? Since Doug Williams, there's been no black starting quarterback to win a Super Bowl.
What's the name of the Super Bowl? You know, for the Redskins?
Just in general, who?
Russell Wilson.
Oh, yeah. Is he black?
That's what they call him, right? You got the 1%. You got the, right, you got
well,
the drop.
He did.
You know the
he
drop.
Did. I take that back. Okay. That's one in...
No, I agree. Yeah.
The other was Illmatic. So,
don't be like, don't be like,
I don't like that. I don't like that. It's the right answer, but it's a bad example. If Trent Dilfer was black, we'd put him in the same category. That's who Russell Wilson, an athletic manager. he's a winner. Don't get me wrong. I like Russell Wilson, but I'm just saying. It wasn't because of him, for real.
It wasn't, though. No, he wasn't the reason.
He didn't shut Peyton
He wasn't
down,
the reason. He wasn't
And
the
he
reason.
Didn't return a kick.
Well, I know. I feel you. And he gave it. And he lost. Well, he didn't lose, but he had a key play to lose. Super Bowl.
Nah, man. I'm telling you, Russell Wilson, I mean, against the Patriots. Just against the Packers in that NFC Championship.
Oh, my God, it was horrible.
He played terrible.
And still rewarded.
Marshawn Lynch should get more credit than Russell Wilson.
Thank you.
Anyway, let's not do this. I'm just saying, I get it. The athletic guy, the traditional quarterback is what wins in this league. I'm sorry.
It's the truth.
So this is why the fan base is pissed, because you all gave up so much. I was going to say we for some reason. That's why I switched. The Washington Redskins. They gave up so much to get RG3, and it's
not working out right now.
Cam Newton hasn't worked out. You know, the track record for black quarterbacks is not the best. Stephen Nair was the best example of somebody who.
Colin Kaepernick had success.
His mother's white, though. Well, that doesn't matter. I'm mixed,
what
too.
What is wrong with you?
Fully black, 100% black quarterback.
So are you trying to tell me? So this is what you're trying to tell me, right? Only 100%, the 100% black quarterback right now can't win the NFL?
What I'm saying is
only the droppings.
I'm not gonna say 100%. Colin Kaepernick is. You can say Tiger Woods is black. He's black. But no, seriously,
you're right there.
But what I'm saying is,
this conversation is so real.
The black mobile quarterback has not proven they can win. They can get you to the playoffs, but can they take you over the?
Yeah,
hump?
Can they get you to the mountaintop?
I mean, Michael Vick, we were hoping, was going to be that guy. Cam Newton is good enough. I mean, if you would have put him on the Steelers, he probably would have won Super Bowl.
Yeah, but I agree. He could.
Then again, you know, that's debatable, I guess. That's definitely debatable. That's why you should call in. But I just feel like the fan base has a lot of built up tension because of that. No, they were sick of Snyder's leading and giving up draft picks and this, that, and the third. And then you do it again to get RG3. This is after you got a washed up Donovan McNabb. I think they're done. I don't know who the answer is. It's not Mariota or anybody like that. And some of the people that the fan base say they wanted, Ryan Tannehill. Who else was there? I do like Bortles in Jacksonville. I do. I like him better than Blaine Gabbert.
Gabbert's horrible. That's not a fair comparison.
Well, they play for the same team. It is a
comparison. They did, yeah.
Bortles is actually good, though. He's good.
No, he's not.
He's on a bad team.
He's okay. He's not no Teddy. He shouldn't have been drafted over Teddy Bridgewater.
Bridgewater, you know, he fell off because college. I mean, in his last season, what did he do?
He had a good last season. He had like a bad down. It wasn't even that bad, to be honest with you. He had good stats.
He didn't live up to his expectations. Same thing.
I'll give you that.
Same thing with Jake Locker. Jake Locker was projected to be number one pick, and then he stayed extra year, and then all of a sudden he slid. It happens. Now, I don't understand how you overly critique guys like this and then Mariota goes second. But anyway.
Who, me?
No. I'm just talking about scouts.
You're talking about how
they pay these guys a lot of money. And I don't see what they see sometimes.
In Mariota?
In people, in quarterbacks. Like Blaine Gabbert. Are they watching Mel Kiper or something?
You do know why they like Marcus Mariota, right?
Why?
Because, all right, one, it's not like – it's funny. He runs spread offense, so spread quarterbacks suck in the NFL. So that's one. It's hilarious to me. Secondly, he doesn't even run like a 4.3. They do run like a 4.5, a high 4.5. It's not like he's not special speed. You know what I mean? So that's another.
I don't know.
Doesn't have an arm.
Well, that's what I'm saying. What are they seeing that he's a nice guy? That high?
He's a very, very nice guy.
Nah, man. But forget that.
He's the opposite of Jameis. He's supposedly, whatever that means. Because truth be told, the talk about him and Jameis, it wasn't even close to me.
But you know what, though, to go back to my
point. And we'll talk about that, too.
And I ask for forgiveness. I was joking to some degree, but to go back, it's not always about race either. It's about the style of quarterback play.
Yeah, that you want.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, this is why Tim Tebow, the media couldn't stand him. And it had nothing to do with him being black, of course.
Yeah.
You have to produce.
Yeah.
Put it that way. And it's a bad match, this coach and RG3. And somebody's got to go after this season. I think it's going to be RG3, unfortunately, man.
Well, he's got a year left in his deal, so not going to waste that money. He probably won't be. I don't think he'll be the starting quarterback, though. He has a year left on his deal. So he may be
on the roster. That would be extremely unfortunate.
Unfortunate. But
it would be, you know, Vince Young part two. I remember Vince Young
being
a backup. And,
and he won. Oh, you're gonna let that slide? Vince Young reference, you're gonna let that slide?
is the same thing.
Hey, Vince Young had a great, if it wasn't for Jeff Fisher, who kind of ruined Vince Young's confidence, he would still be in the NFL.
At least. At the very least,
he was a Pro Bowl quarterback. He got to the postseason,
no,
too.
No, but no. So did RG3.
Hey, they had success.
Did RG3 go to the Pro Bowl, too?
Micah.
I don't know. Say again. Oh, my bad. Did RG3 go to the Pro Bowl, too? No, I don't know. Anyway.
He got hurt. He couldn't play.
Oh. He made it, though?
I believe he made it. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Great. Great comparison. Then. This is that.
Vince Young played.
Proving my argument.
Vince Young played, though.
Exactly.
He didn't play.
RG3 put him as a reserve. But
RG3 couldn't play though. Vince Young played. I don't think RG3 made it, to be honest with you. I take that back.
Here is what's hurting RG3.
I don't want that comparison anymore.
Here's what's hurting RG3 too. A guy by the name of Luck. They it's just like the Ryan
Leaf. That's the problem. That's the problem.
RG3 is Ryan Leaf right now.
I agree.
Except he's a nicer Ryan Leaf. He doesn't go off on the media call.
He's a different he's a head case. He's a head case. Yeah, he's a head case in his own little way though. He's not the Ryan Leaf head case, but he's a head case. It's done
I'm
in a different way.
I'm telling you, man, Rob Parker's smiling. There's a lot of people who are vindicated. RG3 needs a lot of work. He needs help. Who are you? I mean, I don't know. I don't know him personally, but I have a friend that knows his dad, and you know, I hear good things about his him off the field. But
I'm sure he's a good guy.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's a really good guy.
He's not winning.
She's not winning, unfortunately. I mean, this is what
$5 football.
I don't know.
There you go.
But my thing about, again, RG3 is consistent. He was saying the same stuff when he was winning. But he was winning. You lose, this is what happens.
Well, he got hit with a whole new set of questions once he started losing.
Hey, if he wins, right. I'm going to say it. I'm going to be real. If he's winning, nobody has a care in the world of what he's saying, to be honest with you. He could say the same thing. Like, yeah, I'm the best quarterback in the world.
Would be no.
I'm the best quarterback in the world.
That's different. Out. Come on now. This is.
But that got so much play.
Yeah, because he's playing.
It wasn't
terrible.
That serious. It was, dude. I'm not better than I could be when I'm playing. When I'm on a basketball court and there's folks who are better than me, I'm like, I'm the best person in this gym. I'll say that and feel it. I believe it. It's not even the truth.
It's not comparable.
It is comparable.
No, it's
I
not.
Want my quarterback to believe he's the best quarterback in the world. In the world, Craig. In the world. You may not like it, but I wanted to. I want, like, Ray, when I play with you, I want you to believe you're the best 3-point shooter I've ever seen, ever. I want you to believe that.
It's not comparable.
What you mean it's not comparable? Why is it not comparable? Because you don't want to believe
it's
in it?
It's pickup basketball.
I don't care. It's when, in any element of life. When you're at work, I want you to believe you're the best at whatever you do. It's your profession.
Man, nobody's going to come interview me to find out if I'm the best at my job.
They should.
And
if they did, I want you to say the same thing.
I get the confidence piece. However, given the situation, that was horrible timing.
Dude, not to me. I don't care about that. To me, talk is cheap.
It's Rex Ryan.
I don't. Yeah, I like Rex.
Take it to the
Look,
Patriots.
That didn't bother me at all. You need that doesn't bother me. What bothers me is the product. When you suck, you suck. That's the problem.
RG3 has sucked.
Yes, he sucked.
So
that's
you
the
can't
problem.
Come out and say you
I don't care about what he says. Talk is nothing to me. You could say
if Jay Gruden comes up to you, I'm the best coach in this
it
league.
It wouldn't bother
with
me.
With the Bill Belichick in the league.
Look, it wouldn't bother me.
No, you would laugh.
I laugh, but it wouldn't bother me. You asked me, would it bother me? I'd be like, this is full. When RG3 said, I was like, it was the same thing. I laughed, but it didn't bother me. But the media
you know it's going to draw headlines.
But but the media acts like he said, "Oh, I just shot your kid." Like, are you serious? It's not that serious. It's not.
It's like Michael Vick coming out and saying, "Yeah, you know what?
I'm the best black quarterback ever to play the game."
No.
And I wouldn't have a problem with that either.
It's like Michael Vick basically coming out and saying, I'm going to be the spokesperson for animalfriendly.com because I love animals that much. Given the situation, like maybe he is animal love, maybe he didn't treat him like that before, but yeah, you can't do that. I'm just thinking it was okay. The media jumped on it. I would have jumped on it too for the simple fact that RG3's had some horrible, horrible seasons the past 2 years. You can I don't care. He can say I want my confidence. He could have phrased it differently. Some of the best we don't hear. Peyton Manning, for goodness sakes, doesn't even talk that way. I believe inside Peyton Manning thinks he's better than Tom Brady.
You saw I know he believes
you see Tom Brady's emails, right? saying, or his the email saying Peyton was done. This is how he really feels.
He said that. He said that for real.
He said, I have more years left in the league than Peyton.
That's what I'm saying.
To his man, you didn't see that?
No, I see it. You gotta tell.
Oh, man,
he said this.
No. Don't make us look bad because everybody saw that. So I don't know. You missed busy. A lot. I'm busy too,
dude. But I didn't see it. Okay. I see a lot, but I didn't see that. Don't try to criticize me. That
okay? Commercial break. You can look it up. But Tom Brady, yeah, and because
I'm gonna take your word for it. But I gotta look it up.
When you were talking about the whole 4-game suspension on this show,
yeah. I did.
So if you knew about that, then when Tom Brady,
I didn't care about his phone calls. When Tom, I didn't care about his phone
no
calls.
His emails. When they searched his emails, that was one of the emails that was revealed that he was emailing a friend back and forth about, you know, Peyton Manning was done basically, and he wasn't. He could still play for another X amount of years. That's how he really felt. Now he apologized. Peyton was like, he didn't care. He wasn't tripping. Mm. But again, do they come out and say these things? No, because they're smart enough to know this is going to bring bad attention to my team, especially when you suck.
Okay,
New York, Eli Manning, it was just a report saying he wants to be the highest paid player. He never said that, but based on the situation, that actually was an accurate report, but yet everybody's like, what for what? Because he won two Super Bowls? And blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
It happens.
That's different.
I don't have – no, it's not. It's the same. You're going to compare it to yourself playing basketball in a gym where people
– not for me. I think
everybody's
me.
On equal level because nobody is playing
behind. Why are you mentioning – there are people better – I'm sure there's people better that people assume that's better than me.
It doesn't matter. They're playing in the same gym and they're not getting paid.
If they're playing the same
in order to,
NFL.
Put yourself on a pedestal, you have to be
– sorry. Let me state it this way because obviously this is not getting through to you. So I'm going to explain it this way to you. This is how – this was going down. In my realm of work, I believe I'm the best to do it at my job. How about them apples? Does that sound better? Is that the best? Is that the best way to go about that explanation?
But who is the who do you measure yourself up against?
Okay. Other audiovisual production specialists in the government.
I mean, I'm just saying. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Like, how can you? For me, in the field I'm in, what I'm also I believe that I'm better than Dr. Phil.
You should. When you do this, when you do the
first of all, you're not going to draw a headline. Second of all,
I believe that you're better than Kevin Sheen. How about them apples?
Wow, I wouldn't personally mention another. Kevin Sheen is someone who went to school for this.
Yeah, okay. What did I just say? I know what I said. That's what you should believe, though.
Hashtag attack it.
Attack it. I mean, you should believe it. Like like my mom always told me, you claim it. It's yours.
I want Brian Mitchell on the show. He's, you know what? He's been probably the realest person in the media.
He is the realest.
In the DC area, I'll say. Although I loved when they used to sass some years ago. Sass, and everybody knows what that means. when he criticized Clinton Porter, they were like, oh, this is Mel Gray criticizing Barry Sanders.
That was hilarious, though. I'm sorry. It was the truth to me, though.
You know what?
At the time, it was, though.
Brian Mitchell's personality is fiery. He's a hard worker. And he's being honest. He's never... is declaring, I'm a better athlete. I was a better athlete than RG3. He just is annoyed by RG3's MO.
Yeah, period. He is, yeah.
And we all know that Brian Mitchell is not a homer. He's not a homer at all. Mm-mm. He keeps it 100, for lack of better terms. With that being said, I think he's had better perspective on what has gone on behind the scenes with RG3 and why, again, so much is made of every little thing he says and does, because this is the position he was in. He was the, second overall pick?
RG3 second overall.
Yeah, it's something that he's got to go through. But I will say this on a positive side. His success early on and also his level of talent, athleticism, it's another reason why he garners as much as him, because he is still a guy just a few years removed from Heisman Trophy winner, bowl game winner, just awesome college stats, record setting, and a great rookie season, which is why, I believe that plays a role, because I was looking at ESPN.com and the Timberwolves are trying to trade Anthony Bennett, former number one overall pick of Cleveland. Have you heard about that? No.
No.
Because nobody never knew he was really good anyway.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, at all.
That's what I'm saying. So a former number one pick, Kwame Brown got more press than he did, unfortunately. And Anthony Bennett is worse than Kwame Brown, but yet you don't hear about it because we never saw anything from him. So RG3, kudos to you that you still garner attention based on
Wow, is that how we're gonna go with it? That's the
No, I'm trying to make a positive spin off of it because
that is such a positive spin right now.
That's too much.
That's awesome, yeah. That's a whole different type of wow. Like, you're not Anthony Bennett. It could be that bad. it could be that bad.
That's sarcastic. No, that's what I'm saying. Anthony Bennett was a number one pick. And yet,
RG3.
He hasn't.
There is a silver lining.
He hasn't scored double digits more than
twice, 10 times. Is it that many times?
No, that's the point.
Exactly. That's terrible.
Right, so I'm saying. It's not front page news about Anthony Bennett being a bust because he was nobody anyway. RG3 was somebody.
RG3.
And he still is somebody.
According to one of the members of the Urban Sports saying, your life could be worse. You could be Anthony Bennett. Anyway, it's about time for a commercial break. When we get back from break, we'll talk about the Ravens, Terrell Suggs, Dirty Hill, Sam Bradford, and much more. It's the Urban Sports Scene by IGIS. You dig? Del Sets.
When nothing seems to help, I go and look at a stonecutter, hammering away at his rock, perhaps 100 times. Without so much as a crack showing in it. Yet at the 101st blow, it will split in two. And I know it was not that blow that did it, but all those that came before.
Life is good. Life is good.
Life is good.
Life is good.
Life is good.
Life is good.
That life is good.
Shout out to Urban Sports Team and Wiley and Will. Love y'all. Appreciate y'all. Keep up the support. We'll keep the hits coming.
Oh no, me and Ray talking about still. We still talking about Anthony Bennett anyway. Yeah. Thanks, Skylar Diggs. We love you too, but still. That's an excellent point though, Anthony Bennett, man. Who'd have thunk it, man? Who, truth be told, before we get to the next topic, yeah, who could be worse than Anthony Bennett, though? Period.
In sports.
In sports. As a draft pick. Yeah, definitely. We should definitely, like, really break that down. Like,
I would say in my lifetime, in my almost 34 years of living, I have never seen a worse number one pick in any sport.
Yeah, because I didn't see the whole Sam Bowie thing. Everybody compared Sam Bowie.
He wasn't number one, though, was he?
Yeah, I think he was. He's picked ahead of Jordan, right?
But Jordan was picked third. He was picked second, I thought.
Oh, he wasn't one?
He might have been. I thought Olajuwon was one that year.
Maybe Olajuwon was one. Well, anyway, yeah, he's definitely one of the worst first picks. Definitely worst first pick overall. Was there worst? What was Brian Bosworth? Was he like a
Brian Bosworth?
Bosworth.
Yeah. He was number one.
Was he? No, I'm asking. I don't know. He was a bust. I'm labeling bust. I'm sure he wasn't one though. Was he one?
I don't know.
Anyway,
It looks like Sam Bowie. Let's see. He might have been No. Hakeem Olajuwon.
It was number one.
Yep, then Sam Bowie.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy, Sam Bowie. Sam Bowie doesn't get that moniker.
I know my sports, man.
You know your sports, man. You got it, boy.
I'm literally, while we're on air, before we go into the Ravens, I'm going to Google Anthony Bennett's name.
Okay, Google
it. I want to see what the top story is.
Go ahead, do that. Right now, the Nats are up 2-3. Bryce Harper just hit a double. So I'm going to inform the people.
Anthony Bennett. Now, we're going to look at him right now. All it says is Anthony Bennett drawing little interest as trade bait for Timberwolves. That's it. Timberwolves still trying to shop Anthony Bennett, still finding.
Is he still fat? Is he still fat?
He's not skinny. I mean, he's not.
He lost weight.
He's not fat though. I wouldn't classify him as that. But yeah, I'm just saying it's amazing.
Cleveland's so stupid.
But although listen to this, Andrew Wiggins struggles, Anthony Bennett shines in Team Canada victory. Who knew that Anthony Bennett was Canadian and or that he plays for Team Canada? Yeah,
with Andrew Wiggins.
Your life could be worse, like you said.
Your life could be worse, RG3. Anyway.
Who's the worst number one pick? That's a great question.
That's a great question. We should have that for next year.
I don't pay attention to baseball drafts to know if anybody was a bigger bust. I'm sure.
I'm sure there's some
baseball
bad
loyalists or some hockey loyalists.
Delman Young was the number one pick overall. But, I mean, he's had success, though.
Steven Strasburg was.
Yeah, he's had success.
Mark Pryor.
Had success. We look for guys who didn't have any success. Because Anthony Bennett had no success.
Well, that's the thing. That is a key factor.
Because even Kwame Brown had success. In a way, if you look at it as a role player, they have league. You know what I mean? Like years in the league. You know what I mean? Like years in the league. You know what I mean?
Bobby Brown was someone who unfortunately was not given the proper structure and guidance.
Yeah, but
he was neglected.
Yes, he was neglected.
Popeyes and all that stuff. But
Popeyes bombed.
He ate Popeyes every day though.
Popeyes biscuits like that.
Doesn't matter.
Popeye
biscuits.
You
can't eat Popeyes
like
every day. Here's the thing.
The biscuits though, when they fresh? You can't. Them things, like when they fresh though?
You can't eat
Popeyes. You put the honey on that thing? Are you serious though?
I am serious.
Popeye biscuits.
Okay. Let's do an experiment for the fans. Eat Popeyes every day for about 2 weeks.
No, I'm not doing. I'm not getting fat. You serious?
But Kwame Brown did it.
I'm trying to lose weight.
That's the point.
That's a guess of my plan.
I'm trying to figure out was Odin a number
do I have
one
to be pick? I'm active though.
Was Greg Odin the number one pick?
Yes.
He has success, you think?
That's a good one. I don't
no,
think so.
No, not really.
Not really, but he's not worse than Bennett. But it's not worse than Bennett.
Because he did play.
He got the play. Like,
Odin
got the play and for a while. It was injury. That was injury late. He played well when he got the play. Kwame Brown had, like, his service in the years made you know he's not a bum. Like, Bennett's about to be out the league. That's the difference. That's the difference, dude. Like, Kwame Brown, we mentioned Kwame Brown. He's had, like, you know, he got years in the league. You know what I mean?
Michael Olowokandi was the number one pick. But he had longevity. He didn't have success. He had longevity.
Dang, right? that's a good one. That is, that is a good one. As an African, as a Nigerian, that is a good one.
I drafted my first. I thought that Mike Bibby's middle name was Olowokandi. Like, I really didn't think that this guy was getting drafted. He was dead serious. Though. I thought they were saying Mike Olowokandi Bibby. I'm serious. I'm trying to think of other drafts.
You know what?
Bargnani was the number one pick. There's a lot of questionable.
Had success though. He did have. He had a season.
It depends on how you quantify.
I think he scored over. Like Anthony Bennett has none. Ray. Like
did he fry in yours in summer league?
I don't know. Yeah. Does summer league count? I don't know.
Anthony Bennett. What did he do in college?
I saw him in UNLV for a little bit. I was like, he alright.
Does he have a Twitter feed? We got to get at this.
Yeah, exactly. Because
making our show great tonight.
I know he is. He really is. Because I watched him UNLV in the turn. I was like, okay, he got game. Then I was like, when folks were like, Anthony Bennett may be the first one. The same dude I just saw in the tournament, he barely scored like 15.
You base so much on the tournament. That's why I'll never listen to you.
The tournament's like that. Yeah. It's a good indication of who's going to be like that, though. It is, though. If you fry, if you carry your whole team, you a stud, dog. Look at Steph Curry. I was right about that, man. Everybody was wrong, but I was right. Ray was like, everybody was wrong about Steph, but I was right. I was right.
Everybody.
The world, Ray, and not me. The world, and not me.
Come on, man.
I was so right about Steph.
Come on, man. Dude, listen, first of all, I have a problem with the show structure. I need to look.
What's wrong with the show structure? It's been great for years, man.
You know what? Okay, we're gonna get to Michael Vick. That's when I'll make my point.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll give it to my real talk segment.
Your real talk
about Chris Carter.
Oh, but it's about that too? Yeah, we talked about that. I talked about that in my last show.
Oh, yeah, about the whole fall guy comment.
And add Michael Vick into it too?
Because Michael Vick needed one.
Yeah, he needed one. I know. T.I., we talked about T.I. too in the same train too, how he got a fall guy. We should talk about Barry Bonds. Barry Bonds' fall guy is the best fall guy ever. That's the most loyal dude in the world.
People are saying, specifically on a local station here, not going to steal their thunder, but yeah, people are saying that the NFL is corrupted anyway because they knew about his comments a long time ago. But
yeah, he did, and they just brought it out now.
But you know, as soon as the media gets involved, then
it's a wrap. It's a whole different beast.
Yeah, Roger Goodell, holla at your boy.
I know. Believe me, I know about it. Anyway, let's talk about the Ravens
Anthony
real quick.
Bennett.
Anthony Bennett. Hashtag Anthony Bennett.
There we go.
Hashtag Anthony Bennett. How you a hashtag worst draft pick ever? Hashtag worst draft pick ever.
There you go.
There you go. We just found it. There you go. Anyways, the Ravens. The Ravens fell to the Eagles in their preseason game 40-17. You mentioned a little bit earlier. Do you think this is going to be a down year for the Ravens? You talked about their defense a little bit. But do you think it's going to be a down year as a whole for the team?
No. What's the worst that could happen is they get off to a slower start than normal. But I believe that they will be right in the hunt for a playoff spot and for their division, to be honest with you. Here's the thing. People can make a lot of the NFC North? Is that what it's called?
Oh, the AFC North.
I mean, AFC North. I'm sorry.
You're right.
Cincinnati was at the top, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but you can beat Cincinnati. We know this. Cincinnati has not proven that they can win beyond what? the divisional round of the playoffs. They can't win a playoff game.
Yeah.
Right. So they're beatable.
Yeah.
Cleveland. Ha. The Steelers are. It is a rivalry game. That brings the best out of Baltimore. They're well coached. I think they'll be right there. They have a solid offense.
Mm-hmm.
They'll be fine. I believe that the biggest thing is their defense growing and getting better throughout the season, which, again, I have confidence that will happen, especially in the division that they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're playing – the strongest quarterback you're playing against right now is Andy Dalton. No offense to Ben Roethlisberger, but Andy Dalton has had a few better years over the past, what, 2-3 seasons.
Than Ben Roethlisberger?
Yeah. I guess the Bengals have had stronger team play than Pittsburgh.
Well, the Bengals have been better than both teams over the last couple of seasons anyway.
They've been the best team in the division.
Yeah, they have.
Right,
but their defense is good.
But they're beatable.
I know exactly what you're saying. I'm not arguing.
So I'm thinking that the Ravens will be in the hunt, and I wouldn't say a down year. That would be terrible.
I think this team is going to – it is a down year for this team, only because, again – The loss of some of the defensive weapons. You have Elam, I believe, was out for the season. And the offensively is going to be all on Flacco's shoulders. I think Flacco is going to have a big year. Flacco is a good quarterback. People need to actually, appreciate what he has to offer as a quarterback. But I don't think they're better than the Bengals. I think the Bengals win the division. The Steelers are overrated. Everybody has the Steelers. Like, their defense hasn't been good.
No, I actually think the Steelers are going to have a comeback year this season.
That's cool. We can always talk about that when the season goes on.
As the season
goes on, we can talk about that.
Well,
later.
Pouncey, losing Pouncey is big, man.
They lost him again?
Yeah.
What
are you doing?
Dude, I can't be everywhere. I'm not in Pittsburgh.
I'm not either. But that was.
There's things I'm sure I've known.
You heard about Jordy Nelson?
Yeah. Oh. ACL, out for the year.
Oh, okay. I'm just making sure.
You trying to assassinate me, son?
No, Pouncey was secondary news.
Oh, so I heard about Jordy.
Jordy
Nelson's thing is on the outline.
I know.
Have you paid attention?
I was being sarcastic.
Ah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
You're Anthony Bennett.
Go ahead. Really? Ever? I can't. That's people worse than me.
You were big. You lost weight. You never played to your potential. You never stepped on the platform on the college level like you should have.
I don't play baseball, man. You screwed me. I screwed myself. I should play baseball.
You ain't good, man.
I ain't really good.
Cheeseburger. No, triple.
McDonald's at where? At school?
Hardee's. Chili.
Double chili cheeseburger. Let's get it right. That thing was tight.
That ended your career.
It did. They did. That and LB with the ACL injury.
Did you hear what's his name? TBS used to be on CBS. What is his name again?
Conan O'Brien?
Yeah.
You mean on NBC? He's been on NBC.
He is NBC?
He used to be on NBC. Now he's on TBS. I'm trying to help you out.
Is he?
He's on TBS now.
Oh, he was on NBC?
He's on NBC.
All right, my fault. Anyway, yeah. You heard what he said when Ronda Rousey signed a deal with Hardee's, right, Carl Jr.
He was like,
they found somebody that can basically destroy your organs within 30 seconds. That's how bad the food is. That's what you did, man. You let it get
it. It was the greatest food.
Ronda Rousey's you.
I like it. I like Ronda Rousey anyway. That works for me. That works, though. Thank you. Appreciate it, man.
Armbar.
That food was awesome, though. People appreciate Hardee's. I actually, when I was in Baltimore, I really wanted to, try it out. Hardee's is so like that. Like, think about a double cheeseburger with chili on that thing. Think about that. It's awesome. Checkers has something similar too. They got chili hot dogs. I haven't tried them though yet. I thought about it.
Sounds bad.
I haven't lost enough weight to try that. I need to lose more weight so I can try it. my weight problems, man. You know I'd be like overthinking about that thing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, you do, dog. You know exactly what I'm talking about. All right, Sam Bradford. Let's talk about Sam Bradford.
Sam Bradford, he's going to be great this year.
I think so too. What sucks
is because he's great. He's a great quarterback.
He is. When healthy, he can do some things. Especially Chip Kelly's system, he can do some special things.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that he's not at risk for injury though, or at higher risk for injury in Chip Kelly's offense. We'll see. But Chip Kelly made the right move in bringing him in.
Nick Foles.
You know, it's somebody who I think you mentioned that the Redskins could use a guy like Sam Bradford.
I wanted Sam Bradford. People don't listen to me, man. They don't listen to me.
Yeah, my only concern is that the running game for the Eagles is not going to be good, and that's going to put a lot
of
pressure on him.
You like that young DeMarco Murray?
I like DeMarco Murray, but DeMarco Murray, to me, he runs so hard, but he needs holes, though.
I don't know if they're going to open up. I believe in the beginning of the season, definitely there will be a lot open for Philly. But as injuries, you know, play a role, play a factor, as the season progresses, I could see their running game becoming non-existent.
You know what's funny, though? Like, everybody talks about Sam Bradford being hurt all the time. Granted, he does get hurt. But DeMarco Murray gets hurt all the time. Last season was something special for him. Last season, he didn't get hurt. And he did get hurt. He did get hurt.
He just missed as much time.
But it's a guy that, you know, traditionally does get hurt every year and misses most of the season.
DeMarco Murray, to me, is not – he's not a complete back.
Mm-hmm.
But I could be wrong. Catching out the backfield doesn't seem to be something that he excels at. And for Chip Kelly's offense, I think that's vital, based on the fact that you got receivers who not all of them can create separation. So it's going to be interesting to see. Chip Kelly is somebody who, you know, he's going to live and die by his rules, his way. And we'll see if it works out for him. Every year, though, since he's been a coach, they start out well and then they taper off as the season goes on. They still made the playoffs the one season, but last year, obviously, you had Mark Sanchez, I get it, but still. I just feel like his system does not allow you to have sustained success throughout the course of a grueling 16-game season.
And can you listen to Urban Sports saying, you got we just talked about James, we're talking about the Eagles, that's Sam Bradford. Situation sucks. We mentioned earlier in the show about Suggs. Suggs hits Sam Bradford read option play. Do you think that hit was dirty, or do you think Terrell Suggs is dirty? Is he a dirty player?
That wasn't dirty. Why do you keep calling it dirty?
It wasn't dirty. Sam Bradford just had knee surgery. He went low on his legs. I mean, dirty or not?
Dirty. It wasn't dirty. It was a football play.
Football play. I mean, dirty into the sense of that you don't have to.
It was a football play. It wasn't a dirty play.
I think he didn't need to go low.
But it was above his. It was above his.
He had to go low. It's preseason, man. You don't gotta go low. It's preseason. It's like, it's not even that serious.
From what Terrell Suggs saying, he let up. He didn't even hit him hard.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit. I mean, I have my own opinion. Again, it's a legal play. NFL showed it. They did a review. The NFL said it was a legal hit. But at the same time, I wonder if Terrell Suggs was coming off a knee injury, and somebody, you know, like, you know, somebody clipped him, or, you know, a legal clip, or whatever they call it. Would he feel the same way?
Man, I feel like the quarterback gets
too much.
I mean, they're given too much. You can barely touch them. Yes, the Mets log. Game's up. I just feel like, it was a football play. It wasn't anything dirty about it. I'm not gonna keep saying that because that's annoying. But what else can we say about it? That's the question.
Can you hit him high? What's wrong with hitting him high? It's a preseason game. There's no intent.
And he still the drill flag.
It's okay.
And what did the league say? We got it wrong.
The league said it wasn't illegal. They said it wasn't a dirty hit.
Exactly, but he got flagged for it.
Did he?
Yeah.
That's what's up. I ain't watched the game. I saw the highlight.
You haven't watched much of anything lately. I can tell,
dude. I watched the Redskins game. I saw Jameis.
Keep up with the Orioles mainly on your phone. It's always a freaking update.
Yeah, I do. Jameis. I saw Jameis play. I saw Mariota play.
All right, let's move on to Jameis then.
So I'm gonna talk about this topic.
Analysis.
I'm gonna do in depth nothing. we're gonna talk about this real quick, and we're gonna move on. We're moving on to Jameis and Mariota right now.
Okay, that's what I said.
I know. Hey, I don't want you to believe. I don't want to agree with you. I want to say it on my terms. I agree with you now, on my terms. See how that works?
Let's talk about that good old rookie quarterback.
Let's go back, good old rookie quarterback. Good old rookie quarterbacks. Let's talk about Mariota and Jameis Winston. They both played. They played over the weekend. Well, Winston played yesterday. Mariota played on Sunday. How would you critique Jameis and Mariota's second preseason game? Jameis played against the Bengals, and Mariota played against the Rams.
Who do you want to start with?
Let's start with Mariota, since he played first.
I didn't see his game. I don't like to judge too much from highlights. What I'm looking at with the Tennessee media is that they're focusing on his practice and work ethic and saying that he is progressing and getting better. I just don't think that's translated to the field yet. It's only the second preseason game. But what am I looking for with Mariota this season anyway? That's my question. Or what are we looking for? Are we looking to see arm, leadership, accuracy? It looks like they're going to run the ball heavy anyway. He hasn't still gotten the opportunity to show as much as I think he probably would be able to if they weren't, you know, focusing on the run. I believe they're going to try to, you know, strengthen his skills and build him. I'll build his game throughout this season, allow him to become educated, studying film, doing a lot of the things that you have to do to become better, while not putting him in a position to necessarily fail. I think they don't want to take it too fast with him. So I don't think he's gotten the opportunity, really. I didn't see much. I saw the same person that, you know, we've seen, period. Now, the difference between this preseason game and the one against Atlanta was obviously he didn't turn the ball over. That's the main difference. But I'm not Jaworski. Like, I mean, look at the ball, the intangibles. I'm not seeing much from a fan perspective.
I see improvement compared to his first start. In Tennessee, he's doing a lot under center. He's not doing as much shotgun. He's accurate. He was more on time with his passes. He looked like he was more sure of what he was doing on the field. Had a good scoring drive. I'm not a Mariota fan. I think, you know, he showed me something compared to what he showed me in game one. But yeah, I'm with you. I mean, it's still the jury is out on Mariota. I don't look at him as, you know, a special quarterback. I mean, he had a late hit to extend the drive, which, if that late didn't happen, we would probably assess his performance a little differently. That was a questionable late hit, to be honest with you. So, again, he did better than what I expected him to do against a Greg Williams defense who doesn't shy away from rushing a passer and blitzing in preseason. So
we don't like Mariota.
We don't. It's the truth.
I don't like Mariota. Bottom line, and that's.
But he always
hits the open receiver. But listen to this headline.
Go ahead.
This is tennis. This is TitansOnline.com.
Go ahead.
Yeah, that's the right website. Yeah, TitansOnline.com. Titans quarterback Marcus Mariota is off to an impressive start during the preseason. Listen to this. In fact, he's drawn praise from numerous national observers for his poise in the pocket and decision making.
But Zach Mettenberger.
In Sunday's game against the Rams, he also cleaned up his mistakes from the previous week. How does his start compare to Vince Young and Jake Locker, who in their first two? They're almost identical. And what does that tell you? Your man's destined for failure.
They said it's almost identical?
They actually listed the stats. If you want to go through it, Marcus Mariota, 12 of 16 for 153 yards, zero touchdowns, one INT, one touchdown. No, this is the first two games combined.
Combined, okay.
Completion percentage, 75%. Longest completion, 35 yards. Jake Locker, 15 of 28, 171, one TD. One interception, 45 as long as completion, and a 53% completion percentage. Vince Young, the greatest quarterback ever, 15 of 30, 181, zero TDs, zero interceptions. Longest completion was 23 yards, 50% completion percent rate.
So Mariota's percentage, his completion percentage is far better, though, right?
It's far better. But, again, he doesn't have a touchdown. Vince didn't either.
A rushing touchdown, right?
This past game? I'm talking about throwing touchdowns.
Okay. Because Jameis doesn't have a throwing touchdown.
He has the highest passer rating of the three.
Who, Mariota?
Yes. But again, why are they making so much of the preseason? I don't get it. Because they're biased of their guy.
But his first game was some garbage, though. And his second game was fine. It was good. So it's not like it's a special showing. But let's go to Jameis Winston. This guy I really want to talk about anyway, to be honest with you. I ain't gonna lie.
Told you, you don't like Mariota.
I mean, I'm not a fan. I'm not. It's nothing personal. I'm just not a fan of it. I don't think he's that special. Period. I don't think he's special at all.
I don't see it either.
But I'm looking. I like what I saw with Jameis. Did you watch the game at all? A little bit of it. Of Jameis's game against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, I saw. I didn't see. I mean, who watches the whole preseason
game? I mean, just him. I don't care about the whole game. Who watches the whole game? You watch who you want to watch, and that's it. It's the truth. Like, I watched Jameis, and the way, like, he just looks like an NFL starting quarterback. See how I talk? Talk about Jameis is different from Mariota?
He always did.
Like, how he just slings the joint? Like, he slings the passes? It looks like a top-flight quarterback.
He's a better quarterback.
He is. Like, seriously. So, I'm going to talk like Jaws, like, on this one. Like, because how I assess Jameis Winston is, like, he throws people open. Me and Will and I always talked about he throws people open. Like, he throws the ball to a spot and he lets it rip. He just seems he's confident in the pocket. I mean, he missed one deep pass to Mike Evans, who, I mean, he barely missed him on that. It would have been a touchdown pass for him. I mean, he had two good drives. If he didn't stumble, he would have had two touchdown drives. The first drive, he led the Buccaneers to the goal to a red zone opportunity and ran it in for a touchdown. I mean, the guy to me looks like a guy who can lead a drive and lead a scoring drive consistently. He looks and again, I didn't see this part of Mariota, but Jameis was checking out a place. It was like he saw a blitz. He was calling Mike. He was calling like the Mike blitzes and whatnot. It was awesome. He was like, blitz, blitz. I can't do the NFL talk because I'm not an NFL quarterback. But he was talking. He was checking people down with change of play, audibling. I was like, damn, RG3 doesn't do crap like this. This dude is unbelievable. Like, I'm sitting here watching Jameson. Like, this is a real quarterback.
Well, look, I'm not going to listen. First of all, you are terribly biased. My goodness.
I am very biased. did you see that?
That's really bad.
That was bad. Hey, look. How biased? That was real. But that was real, though.
That was really biased. I mean,
he almost only missed him by a little bit.
My goodness. Come on, man. You gotta be somewhat objective.
I am objective with that. He missed him by a little bit. A little bit.
Anyway, both, in my opinion.
You your little way anyway.
Sure I am, but I can't be biased, but not to that degree. Come on now.
All right, watch. We'll see. Continue.
We'll figure it out.
Vince Youngness is biased on the opposite way. Continue.
I call it how I see it.
Look, here you go. He wouldn't play well. He was against that anyway. Go ahead, continue, man. Continue. He throws the ball like a frisbee.
He does. I know what I saw.
Hey, continue with your
Here's the thing. If you look at both players, again, we cannot read too much in the preseason. It is preseason. That's why. You're out there to learn, to get better, and to prepare for the regular season. That's week one is when I want to start to really critique these guys. You got these two dudes in divisions that they can both succeed in. What's the toughest division opponent that Mariota will see this year? Houston, maybe Indianapolis?
No, maybe the Colts and Houston. I mean, these are tough teams because
Jacksonville. You know what I mean?
That's Jacksonville. You're right.
I don't think the Colts defense is good, to be honest.
No, it's not good at all. But, I mean, when you got to score, when you got to match point for point, points for points, that's what makes it hard, though.
Oh, well, here's the thing. I understand that, but I'm just saying, Mariota, I believe that his stats will look very good coming out, but I believe they will have very little impact on
the league. It's not going to do anything, wins and losses, because Zach Mettenberger, to be honest with you, is having vicious stats in preseason.
On the flip side, the toughest opponent Jameis Winston will probably face is Carolina in the division.
Yeah, within
defense. Therefore, to me, you have the opportunity, both of them, to be successful, and this is just to prepare for, you know, the regular season. I'm looking forward to playing the Buccaneers. I'm an Atlanta fan, and I keep reminding everybody that just in case you just tuned in. ATL, baby. Rise up. Hashtag.
Oh, my God. I can't believe this dude.
Jameis.
Cannot believe this dude.
Meet Vic Beasley. Hey. But anyway, Atlanta's defense stinks.
I mean, the blessing.
The Saints defense, they're not too good. Carolina's can be.
Carolina is good.
No, it can be. It can be better than what it has been. They have to be consistent.
Well, last year wasn't as good as it was the year before, so.
But last year, when they won their run at the end to make the playoffs.
They were balling.
Yeah,
they were balling.
Their defense is pretty good. So that's the toughest opponent Jameis will see. And he'll have, to me, probably some rookie mistakes, some learning curve. Some of the learning curves come in to play. But, I'm thinking that we should not read too far into it. That's my point.
You got I like who I wanted to mention. What I like about Jameis has to offer is his wide receivers. His wide receiver core is awesome. You got Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson. So I mean, he has weapons compared to Mariota.
I'm not a Vincent Jackson fan.
I am. He's good though.
He's good. He has the physical tools, but he doesn't produce like he should.
Oh, he only produced. Well, he produced well with Phillip.
No, he's done. To be honest with you, he's done okay in Tampa Bay, but he's not a game changer.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I think that's still good weapons, right? Good. I mean, don't knock it. Mike Evans and Vincent Jackson, it's good. It's not weak. It is good. All right.
Yeah, so. I know it's like Malcolm Kelly and what was that dude's name?
That's not what I'm. That is ridiculous. That is a ridiculous comparison, and you know it. That's some biased
Malcolm
stuff.
Malcolm Kelly had the physical.
Look, that's biased. Look at this bias.
Kelly Malcolm.
That statement was biased. Look at that statement. Look at that. Was just terrible, Jeezy. Come on, Ray Jeezy. That's terrible. Come on, man.
Who does Mariota have? Who's his top receiver?
I have Wright.
Exactly.
Right.
Where's Andre Dyson when you
need? I know, right? What was another one for that Tennessee Titans team back in the day? I can't even think about it.
No. Kenny Britt was good for a minute.
Kenny Britt was a beast. Kenny Britt was like that.
For a few games.
No, Kenny Britt. Oh, he had good fantasy games. This thing is like the Bengals had like 5 touchdowns in 1 game. It was crazy. Kenny Britt always have like that game. Just like Donovan McNabb would have that great game. And you playing fantasy, you playing fantasy football, be that 1 week when you just did everything right. Anyway, let's go to another football title. Reggie Wayne signs with the Patriots. How dangerous could the Patriots be with Reggie Wayne? You know, Tom Brady has a weapon.
You know what? On a smaller scale, this is like signing Randy Moss again.
Isn't it to you? Like, I think the same thing. I was thinking the same thing.
If I engage in fantasy football this year, I may pick him.
Yeah, I think he's a really good pick. He'll be a really good pick in fantasy football. I agree with you. I think it's dangerous. And, you know, I thought, like, the Carolina Panthers should have picked him up went down. Benjamin. You know Benjamin went down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, make sure you make it sound like I don't know anything. Yeah, so when he went down with the ACL tear. So I think it's a nice play for the Patriots. Are you surprised that
Patriots make a lot of good
they
moves.
Do. They make a lot of good signs. Not a lot of inexpensive signings that are, like, awesome. They do a lot of good acquisitions, make a lot of good acquisitions.
And you know what? It outweighs some of the negative press. Because obviously they were killing the Colts. You know, the Tom Brady football issue shouldn't be there. And also with Rob Gronkowski, he's crazy. Talking about being a virgin on the radio and all that stuff. That's because they were asking him how many women he slept with. So he's being funny. But still, it's
that
just
dude hilarious.
Yeah,
right?
Something's
he's
wrong.
Hilarious.
It's a big and you know what though. He's a good example of what we were talking about earlier. RG3 of how he may be book smart, blah, blah. Rob Gronkowski is actually a very intelligent dude. Based on the simple fact that this dude has spent literally none of his money. He drives like a normal car. He parties, but he's still frugal. He's a frugal party.
Yeah, and everybody loves him too. He's an individual. Everybody.
You spend more money going out than he does.
That's the truth. And he rich. Rich people get free stuff anyway, so it doesn't even matter.
I'm rich. There you go.
Rich folks get free stuff anyway. Doesn't matter.
Rob Gronkowski is, I mean, look at the dude, man.
Real quick, are you surprised that Peyton Manning didn't make a play for Reggie Wayne? Before we talk about Jordan.
Nah, I think, why disrupt that offense when you got
Demaryius Thomas?
Yeah, I mean, you have your core set. That's a good receiver core.
Yeah, I ain't mad with that. All right, let's go to Jordy Nelson. Jordy Nelson's out for the season with an ACL tear. Ray was surprised that I knew about that. are the Packers out of the playoff hunt because of that, you know, that injury?
No, not at all. Not at all, man. I'm just interested to see, you know, what their record turns out to be within the division. I love that division. I mean, the jury is still out on the Bears, but
they're going to still be terrible.
But look at Minnesota's looking better. And then, obviously, Detroit. You love Detroit's defense.
I love Detroit. I love Detroit's team.
Can Detroit finally win in Lambeau? You know, because of a game-changing, I guess, event like this.
Could give the opportunity to. Give them the opportunity. I mean, they still got Cobb. I mean, they could, to be honest with you, I'm going to mention a player, you know, that's a free agent that's talking, I mean, who's retired but thinking about coming back. Randy Moss thinking about coming back. Packers, Aaron Rodgers, Randy Moss. You don't like that? That doesn't like
excite me, though. Yeah. Not at all. Randy Moss is done.
I think Randy Moss and Aaron Rodgers is a great combination.
Nah, they could do it over, man. You know, they probably would have. I mean, they obviously did not foresee this coming, but,
yeah.
You know, there were some receivers available, such as
Reggie Wayne,
Crabtree.
Oh, we talking about early in the season?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
The Orioles suck now. This is embarrassing. They're about to lose. They're losing 3-0. Like,
how do you just turn on your team so quickly?
They're just
anyway,
terrible, man. I can't stand
Randy Moss. You know what they said? He's been, you know, hanging out with Chris Cooley.
Has he really?
No, they were trying to be funny, like, because
Cooley wants to come back. I know.
Yeah, Randy Moss. He's not in football shape, and nor will he be.
Is he really not?
You cannot be in football shape if you're not actually playing. You know, Terrell Owens is trying to come back. Nobody said anything about him.
Yeah, because he doesn't have freakish athleticism. That's the only problem.
Randy Moss doesn't either.
He does have
not freakish anymore.
He used look,
to.
Look. He does. I'm sure he still runs. I bet he runs a 4-4. If he runs a 4-4, that's great.
We should trade Roddy White to the Packers. Y'all can have him.
Who's y'all?
I said we should trade. Yeah,
you said y'all can have him. Who is y'all?
Green Bay.
I ain't no y'all. You're looking at me and say y'all.
I'm speaking to the
Packer audience.
There's no Packer audience. But
Lambeau Field audience.
To Wisconsin Avenue.
Wisconsin Ave. So Ray does not believe in Randy Moss. Coming to Green Bay. I think Randy Moss can go to Green Bay and he can go to Carolina. Cam needs help. You can't get Cam garbage and think he can do stuff. You know, Funchess from Michigan is it for Cam. Man. You should give Cam Randy Moss.
Take a page from Teddy Bridgewater's book.
And do what? Win with nothing? Try to win with nothing?
No, you work with what you have, man. You make people around you better, just like Tom Brady does, just like the good quarterbacks do, you know. You were so, I guess, emphatic about the fact that Tom Brady, nobody was getting separation because Geno wasn't getting nobody was getting open.
Why are you gonna mention that?
The point is, Tom Brady turned the year around with the same players, so it can be done
with the same players. You talking about the same sorry player,
same receiving core.
Oh, and they won a Super Bowl. Oh, because defense was better. Yeah. He had Revis Island. That's what happened. You have Revis.
Oh gosh,
I'm the truth. I say
Revis is not the same guy.
No, Revis is the same guy. No, Revis is the best cornerback in football. That is the truth. Like it or not, and you won't hear it again because you missed 85%. Remember this day. It's taped and it'll be archived. Revis is the best cornerback in football. Not a guy who gets help over top in Richard Sherman. Revis is the only dude that goes man up with no help on top. That's real talk.
Yeah, another debate for another day.
Exactly. All right, let's go to Michael Vick, man. We like talking about Michael Vick. And you want to blend in the Chris Carter aspect.
Nah, really. I really don't because
I do. You brought it in. We're gonna talk about it.
Well, now that I kind of think back, you know what? You know what? He made a serious mistake.
Michael Vick.
Yeah, I think. Of course, he was.
By trying to sign with the Steelers?
No. No, yeah, okay. Well, that's the point.
Yeah.
The point is that Michael Vick is trying to sign somewhere. Michael Vick, should he retire? No, because from a financial perspective, he's trying to get as much money as he can as a player.
Okay.
Why would you sign Michael Vick at this point if you're Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Man, this dude has bad luck. Did he hurt his toe, man?
Yeah, he got hit in the toe. He'll be okay.
Talking Bryce Harper.
He's fine.
Anyway, now he's not going to be able to get on an ESPN a body issue. Toe injury. By the way, did you know Prince Fielder, was in that?
Yeah.
That's terrible.
I know. Believe me. I do pay attention.
I'm going to be in that. If Prince Fielder can be in there, then I can be in there.
Hey, dude.
Michael Vick doesn't make sense for the Steelers to sign Michael Vick. Sorry.
It doesn't. Again, Michael Vick should have looked into the Jets job. Did he try? Or he wasn't interested in the Jets job?
Talk about fall from grace. Come on back to Atlanta. TJ Yates, are you serious? I mean, with Kyle Shanahan, he could succeed in a backup role if something.
But Matt Ryan doesn't get hurt though. Matt Ryan never gets hurt.
Yeah, he gets hurt in the season all the time.
It's nothing serious. It's only nagging.
He has shoulder surgery the year after.
Oh, that one year, yeah. Matt Ryan's
He's missed some games. He has missed some games over his career, but not often. You're right.
Yeah.
But still, why not? It's better than TJ Yates.
You just went back in Atlanta.
That'd be a good story. No, Michael Vick is irrelevant.
Damn, Michael Vick's irrelevant?
Yeah, what?
The great Michael Vick is now irrelevant? I think not.
Yeah, he had his time and
all right.
His time is best.
Talk about what you meant to talk about. It was a good point.
Well, no. I was thinking. I'm not gonna say that Michael Vick needed a fall guy when he.
We talk about this. We already know.
Well, no. But what I'm saying is though that his friends should have done that.
Yeah, should have done it for him. That's true.
Based on the fact that they were heavily involved. He wasn't hands-on. He funded it.
Yeah, exactly.
He was hands-on. I'll take that back. He wasn't hands-on as much. But what I'm saying is, if I'm his friends, I'm thinking from an immoral standpoint, I was thinking that they should have done that back then. And this is the thinking. I'm telling you, it's a horrible mentality, and it's wrong. And I don't want to sit here and condone it.
And glorify it, right?
Because then I'm going to be in the same category as Chris Carter is. That's not my point.
His statement didn't bother me. But go ahead.
Well, it bothered me because of just the recent issues that have plagued the NFL. DUIs, domestic violence. You can't have a fall guy for domestic violence. But,
you can't really have one. You can't.
Also, the NFL, the psychiatric issues are growing amongst players. So, these dudes at times are not thinking rationally. if you're going to sit up there and take the fall every time, you cannot. If it happens, that enables him to do the behavior again. I was thinking about the Michael Vick situation because, again, back then, my mentality was, yeah, you know what? If I'm Michael Vick's friend, you got me when I get out, correct?
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't trust him enough. I mean, they're not friends no more. But, you know, again, they all were used as an example because I always referenced that HBO Real Sports.
You always did that episode. Dog fight.
It was a huge industry.
Yeah.
But yet, again, they wanted to make an example. And there was so much pressure on the league with PETA involved and, you know, a lot of angry individuals. And I get it. Like I said, would that have helped him? If his boys took the fall, Michael Vick might have still been dogfighting. So, again, that was how I felt, though, back then about the situation. Not anymore. Mm-hmm. I just want to clarify that. But it goes to show you that there's an undercurrent in the league. There's a lot of players who receive a lot of money who necessarily aren't educated, who don't finish college, who are from, I guess, you know, low economic backgrounds. I don't know how to frame it in a good way, but they come from situations where when you get drafted and you make the amount of money you make, your whole life changes, and you don't necessarily change a person. The money doesn't necessarily change, know, what you've seen and experienced and who you've become. It's not the case for everybody, but I mean, based on the fact, why are you having that talk? I like a point that, you know, a former player made, and that is, you know, if we're going to do this, do it off camera. Let's talk to the players off camera. Let's keep it real. Let's not make publicity. You're just trying to show people in the media, basically, that we're trying to make people better. But and they picked Chris Carter because he experienced a lot. And I believe that Chris Carter is a good person to talk to. All the off-the-field issues he had. But there are also people out there like Alonzo Spellman who has psychiatric issues, who has had manic episodes. Talk to him. Talk to those who have experienced head injuries who are struggling. Talk to people who, like a Marcellus Wiley, who came from, you know, a certain background and changed their life. And look at him, just successful within ESPN now. So maybe they need to expand who they pick to come back and talk. And then they had Warren Sapp on all people. I think they.
This is old.
It was a year old. But yeah, I'm just saying. Warren Sapp is probably going to be cut now from doing that because his behavior. But it goes to show you, man, and it's very scary when you think about it because Warren Sapp was a character witness when Ray Lewis went on trial. You know what I mean? But Warren Sapp is an honest individual, though.
He's honest.
Yeah, he's very honest.
Yeah.
He's very upfront. Now, maybe he's honest to a fault, but hey, think about who you get up there to speak to, you know, incoming rookies. Get, you know, why does it always have to be somebody with a troubled past? You know, get somebody up there who never got into trouble, who's done it right throughout their career. Why not talk to why not have Peyton Manning speak? And maybe they do at a rookie symposium, but I don't know. Maybe can he appeal to a black urban youth?
Probably not.
But who can? Who can, you know, in the league, who can you think of that can appeal to these guys? Chris Carter. These guys may not be old enough to remember his playing days. Mm-hmm. So who is it? What about Randy Moss? Randy Moss is very successful outside of his NFL career, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why not? Why not Randy Moss? Let him talk to him. He's going to be – I mean, look at all he went through.
Nah, again, I don't have a problem with Chris Carter, what he stated, because I think he's just being real. And we've had this joke discussion off air, whatever. So, you know, we talked about, you know, Michael Vick. We referenced how Barry Bonds' fall guy is like the best dude in the world because he showed loyalty to Barry Bonds, knowing that Barry Bonds probably going to take care of him once he gets out of jail.
Victor Conti.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Anderson. It's Anderson.
Oh.
Anderson, his man.
Oh.
So when you look, Barry Bonds and you look at Michael Vick, and we refer to, I'm thinking of T.I., you know, his situation and whatever. There's fall guys everywhere, you know. Did T.I.?
He didn't have a fall guy?
He was
talking, apparently.
He was talking, to, yeah.
So they say.
Yeah.
But no. Yeah, you know what?
But not glorify. I'm just saying, like, not to glorify, but we always have that little talk, like a fun little talk.
Here's the thing. We can have these discussions, and maybe he was, quote-unquote, keeping it real. However, from a PR standpoint, it was terrible for the league.
Yeah, for the league. I know what you're saying.
Because there's a negative perception of the NFL
with criminals and this, that, and the other.
Yeah, a lot of them have gotten slaps on the wrist. And I mean, normal individuals like ourselves who are not generating millions of dollars,
mm-hmm.
we're not going to, and I guess have access to high paid lawyers. We're not, or high power lawyers. We're not going to have access. We're not going to receive the same treatment they do.
Yeah.
You know? And it's unfortunate, man. It's something that needs to change. And I do think that maybe they can make some changes. Now they should. And here's why they should too. As soon as Janet Jackson had that issue, they quickly eliminated hip hop from their show. From their halftime show.
Yeah.
Which is a mistake, by the way, because if you go to a game, that's all that is played is hip hop. You don't go to a daggone NFL game. People not getting hyped with country western. I'm sorry, that was a mistake. You still got to appeal to everyone.
I know, right? Turn down for what? Stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, why can't? And they have
Grand Slam, Ron Zimmerman. The Nats are killing the San Diego Padres 8-2, and Steven Strasburg is looking like the ace of the ball club. Go ahead, continue.
They have reinstated hip hop into their halftime show. They have, but I'm saying their initial reaction was let's get rid of it.
Yeah.
And you know, I remember Chris Collins was saying they were talking about people taking their clothes off. You know, Nelly was like, you know, I'm getting so hot. You remember? they were just saying it was filth from Jump Street. But my point is, why don't you make a quick change?
Mm-hmm.
Make a quick change. Change who you have speaking to your players. Get something different in there and see how that works for you. I guess we'll find out. We'll find out. As a matter of fact, it was a year ago he made those comments. But I'm wondering if he speak at this year's Rookie Symposium as well. It'd be interesting. I guess I'll have to look. But it's amazing. People say what they mean and quickly they come out with these apologies. I think it's hilarious.
They always apologize.
You know, that's the way to make it go away. You meant what you meant at the time you said it for the most part. There are times where you can misstate things. Definitely. He was not misstating.
No, he knew what he was saying. He said it.
He knew exactly what he was saying.
He said it and he meant it.
He said, to be honest, his apology was a bit more contrite than others. Like he said, looking back at the film, I realized how inappropriate my comments were.
It was what it was. He said it. He meant it. I mean, to me, it is what it is. Nobody should like really like look at him like, all right, this, that, and the other. But anyway, it's about time to end this show. Again, I've been blessed to have my man Ray Jeezy on this show. We did it. We did our darn thing. I think I felt like one of our fun shows. We found a new hashtag, worst draft pick ever. Hashtag that. And Anthony Bennett. That's gonna be a new joke for a while, man.
Why is that? Because
it is. Yeah, everything is so right.
I think Steven Strasburg shaving his mustache is funnier than that because
yeah, it is.
He doesn't look. He doesn't look like the same guy.
He's like a pedophile. I know it sounds jacked up to say, but he does. Though.
What does a pedophile look like?
I don't know.
He doesn't look like that. He doesn't look like that.
Anyway,
no, he just looked like he is not eating.
He don't look right. He looks healthy.
Sick.
He don't look healthy. That's better. That's a better way of stating it. He doesn't look healthy.
He shaved his mustache. Like he's drinking some beers or something.
It don't look right.
It just doesn't look right, man.
It just don't look right.
Don't shave your mustache until you know
how it's going to look.
Try to picture yourself ahead of time.
If you got to erase, use your ID and erase pictures.
Can you shave your mustache? You think it look normal?
I think I look weird. Anyway, it's time to wrap this show up. Just make sure you listen
to it. Wesley Snipes did it. You can do it.
Hey, he look weird too. You see?
No, he absolutely look weird. But eventually it grows on you, I guess.
It won't grow on me. It won't grow on me. I think I look stupid. Anyway, listen to our show by visiting our official Urban Sports League website, which is www.walio.popium.com. We're also on iTunes, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search the Urban Sports Scene. And if you have any questions or comments, just email us at change.da.game6@gmail.com. Again, it's a blessing to do this sports thing. Always a pleasure to have Ray Jeezy on the show. He's going to be a regular again. So it's going to be the Urban Sports Scene live in effect, full circle. The unit. Catch y'all later early in the basement, son. All right, Big Ron, lead us out, my dude.